This is 530.
Yes, this is
What's
episode
this dickhead's name?
530.
Oh my God. What's
His
the
name
guy's name?
is Red Davis.
Red. I've almost put Rad Davis.
Probably a, that's a cool name too.
REDD Davis.
Oh, it's. Oh, what the fuck? Is he Red Fox? Come here, dummy.
You can ask him if he's Red Fox. From the
Nightmare
RWA.
Academy?
We're live, by the way, on the rant.
From the
Rant.
Nightmare Academy?
No, from the Rhodes Wrestling Academy.
Oh, that's a different place?
Yes, fool.
Then what the hell's the Nightmare Factory?
That is, I guess that's QT and Cody's home base.
Wait, so Cody's too good for his brother Dustin and he can't even have a school together with him? What kind of fucking education is that?
Let
All
me
right, so
ask you.
what if Dustin lives in Texas and Cody lives in Florida?
They're kind of close, aren't they?
Now, I don't know if that's the case, but that's what I'm assuming.
Would you start a wrestling school with your brother?
Yeah, I would.
Really?
No, he would be a terrible wrestler.
Because I've seen what your brother does at the flower shop. I would want nothing to do with him.
Oh, easy. Kayfabe the hour shop flay.
I'm sure we've talked about Flowers by Yuck before.
Really? Yucky.
Well, this is episode 530 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. If you missed Tony's extravaganza last week, be sure to go back to shiningwizards.com and check it out. We had not Ken Patera call in, Falabah, Francis Wright, Tombstone Jesus, Jay George, and who am I missing?
Mark Order Podcast. Miko Maestro.
Oh, Miko, that's right. I forgot Miko. You want to know why I forgot Miko? Because he doesn't do fucking video, but he can book himself on this goddamn show. But he can't figure out his fucking video.
What a dick.
Kunkka dunk, whatever the fuck we say. Kunkka dunk.
Cocaine. Coca. Hold on, I gotta find it now.
It's not like he's gonna li he doesn't listen,
Oh, I don't care. It's still
Miko,
funny to me.
Maestro.
Cocaine.
But he booked himself on whatever Finnish Independence Day in December.
Muhammad Ali.
Yeah,
Great
what
day.
his jokes were fucking shit. Kevin, you should have Miko open for you. You look like fucking Bert Kreischer every time.
On what planet am I a headliner where I have
If
someone
you have fucking
opening for
Miko
me?
opening for you and he's telling those Muhammad Ali and what was the other joke he told?
The John Lennon joke. Is he
John
what?
Lennon, yeah.
Die in front of their house?
Well, J. George was trying to be a comedian too.
J. George is funny though. That's the difference.
Yeah, but there's no chance he writes those jokes. And he's going to listen to this too, so it's all right. But
No, he's not gonna fucking listen to this.
he does, I think.
You know what? Jay George is a hack. I'll say it. He's a hack. He's a hack comedian, all right? Stick to professional wrestling. Stick to what you know, Jay
He's
George.
good at that.
It was all last week, though. Me and Tony and Tombstone Jesus, we all took our shirts off. It's hysterical.
It was
That was
good
all
times.
right.
So much fun to listen to. And please keep calling my phone, 201-467-8949. Francis Wright even sent me a message afterwards, like, you really let me do that. And I'm like, Francis, I don't give a shit. All right.
Yeah,
Most people turn off the show when you come on. So I wasn't worried about it. We got Red Davis tonight. He's the first graduate from the Rhodes Wrestling Academy, which is Dustin Rhodes Wrestling School. Impact Rebellion last night. We got picks to go over. Fuck a WWE. We're gonna start sending out boxes of wizardry and trash bags. I'm stealing that gimmick 100%. We're gonna start doing that. We got AEW talk about. I watched MLW until King Mo came on. Then I turned that shit right off because he makes me fucking sick to my stomach. He doesn't belong in a wrestling ring. NWA, booger pickers all over that fucking show. AEW, we got so much to talk about. Ring of Honor, New Japan, CM Punk is in the news. Terry Funk is in the news. Mongo McMichael is in the news. It's all next. On the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, episode 530. Get it. Hit that button, Tony. Make it happen.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody out there in wrestling land, when you want pro wrestling information at its finest, you're listening to Shining Wizard right here with my boys.
What's up, fuckers?
I love the big package.
And he's got those smelly balls.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Fucking loser.
Fuck the Shining Wizards.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are here for episode 530 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, live on the Rant, rantdmradio.com, live on the FaceSpace, facebook.com/wizardspodcast, and of course, coming to you in podcast form everywhere you download us. We love you anyway. It's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling. Tony, I don't want to, you sound low again.
I sound, really?
You got to get up on that mic, buddy.
What, like this?
That's better.
I sound fucking loud as shit in my ears. Hold on one second.
Yeah, you sounded loud to me.
No, it wasn't coming. I don't think it was coming across.
How's
so
that
great.
Better? Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God. Oh, that's loud.
Is that really loud?
Yeah, it's really loud.
I don't sound loud to you, Matt.
Now you sound good.
Good? I sound fucking tremendous. Oh, God.
Tremendous.
I sound fucking loud in my old ear, in my own ears.
I cannot wait to get back to studio.
You had it right the first time, your old ears.
Well, of course. Is that better? Do I sound good?
Yes.
No. Yes.
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 Just talking to the mic.
Hello.
Hello. Exactly.
Hello. Exactly.
Well, it says Tony. I didn't mean to. I stopped your flow at the beginning, so my apologies.
Yeah. Whatever.
Well, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
I'm Matt.
I'm Kevin.
I am Kevin too.
One Matt, two Kevins. Rule the world.
That's it. That's hey, it, baby. Kevin
too.
How are you guys doing this wonderful week?
Fantastic. Fantastic.
All Couldn't right. be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you? How was your weekend?
My wife's weekend. Birthday. My weekend was busy. The wife's birthday was good. We went into the city. We went to the Beetle House. I had a little verbal sparring with the Willy Wonka. So it was fun. I had a good time.
All right. So for those who don't know, and I'm just going to use, because I don't know, what is the Beetle House?
Beetle House is a restaurant. It's Tim Burton inspired. He has no affiliation to it, but everything is a Tim Burton theme. So it is Halloween every day at Beetle House. So a lot of the menu stuff has like Edward. I got a burger. It was called Edward Burger Hands. Oh, it was delicious. Okay. It was fucking delightful. It was a cheeseburger with bacon, avocado, lettuce, tomato, sriracha mayo, and an egg. And they put the fucking scissors right through the middle of it.
Imagine having burger hands. Like, at some point, you'd have no hands at all.
Oh, I'd eat the fuck out of my hands.
Exactly. Big old eat hand fest. Let me ask you this, though. Did they have? Did Tim Burton do the Willy Wonka remake?
Yes.
All right. That was the worst piece of garbage I've ever seen in my life.
100%.
See, I've never seen it, so I didn't know what this guy. So they, I guess, like every night there's a different character that is there. It's like entertaining. It's almost like a Jekyll and Hyde, I guess. All
right.
So this guy was walking around. He has the face mask on, but then he has like a microphone and a speaker box. And he came over to the table and he acts like the Johnny Depp version of Willy Wonka.
Punch him! Punch him with my burger hands.
It was almost like I was doing the podcast. Had a nice back and forth with him. He kept coming back to the table. I kept making fun of him. Kept busting his balls. Told him to suck it a couple times.
Wow.
How many drinks do you have?
You know what? Point? I got rused into drinks on their menu. They said, these are the drinks. This is a fire and ice margarita. So I said, I would like a fire and ice margarita because I love a spicy margarita. And the lady said, well, all the libations are served warm, but I will let you know if some of them should be served cold. And I thought warm, she meant like room temperature. So I got this fire and ice margarita. It was like a warm cider with a tequila shot on the side.
So it's a rail car.
I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this? So I just dumped it in the fucking cider, and I begrudgingly drank it. And then I got something. It was called Edward Scissorhands, Edward's Lemonade. It was whiskey, cherry, orange, simple syrup.
Wait, simple syrup or maple syrup?
Simple syrup.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, this will be interesting. It was literally whiskey with a cherry, not like a cherry flavor, a fucking cherry and orange and some simple syrup. I took a sip of that and I almost fell out of the fucking chair. And I was like, good news is I won't be having any other drinks tonight. The bad news is it's going to take me a while to finish this fucking thing because it was nothing like lemonade.
Wait, so isn't that like a essentially like a Manhattan or an old fashioned?
It is an old fashioned, yes.
Yeah, that's crazy. Let me going back to the Edward Scissorhands remake. I mean, I want to go back to this weekend because it sounds incredible. But the Edward Scissorhands remake, the Willy Wonka remake, was the only movie I've ever fallen asleep in. Like, that's how much I couldn't take it. I was in a theater. I think I was a camp counselor, and literally fell asleep in the movie. Kids were damaging the place.
You've seen the original though.
Oh, that's the greatest one of the greatest movies of all time.
Masterpiece, 100%. Remake? I don't know what the fuck they were thinking. Ugh.
Now, was there a third remake? Or no?
No.
I'm making that up.
No, it was just the original Tim Burton version. Good. Speaking of remakes, I started watching the new Mortal Kombat movie this weekend.
What do you mean started watching a movie?
I haven't finished it. It's on HBO Max.
Yeah, but I'm kind of with Kevin. How do you start watching a movie?
You watch the first half of it and then you didn't get to finish it, so you now have to finish it.
But wait, who goes into a movie not knowing if they're going to have enough time to watch the whole thing?
Well, other shit came up. I had to stop watching the movie. That's the beauty of having a movie at home now that you can watch anytime you want and pick up where you left off.
Yeah, but
you could carve out time to watch the movie?
No, not necessarily.
Oh, that would drive me nuts.
Listen, if we're having dinner, it's like, yeah, I'm going to pop on a movie. While we're having dinner, we start watching the movie, and then I can pick it up later.
Kind of fucking savage are you? You watch TV while you eat dinner.
Fuck off. You know I got a TV in the kitchen, right?
And also something you haven't already seen. Like a TV during dinner is either like the news, SportsCenter, or something you've already seen. You don't go into something fresh while you're eating dinner.
Why not?
What do you mean, why not?
All the time. You know what we watch over dinner all the time on Fridays? Well, now that it's over, Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
What is that?
Watch every episode on a Friday having dinner.
Listen, Mike TV, you should probably not watch TV at dinner. You should converse with your family.
I hate my family.
Well, that's
that extreme, but like, how do you invest in something you've never seen while doing something else at the same time?
I'm not doing something else. I started watching.
You mean you're sitting at a table with your family eating food?
Yeah. So?
I'm kind of with Kevin on this, Tony. I don't know how you can start a movie. And like, look, I don't know about you. I eat my dinner pretty fast. So I can wait 15, 20 minutes. If you're not talking to your family, you guys are shoveling food in your mouth and watching fucking TV.
All right. So like, if it's like, it's just me, right? Like, so if I am like, it's like a Friday night or whatever. All right. So here's where I can possibly see Tony's point. And I'm probably, through his eyes, I don't understand how I could possibly do this. But through my eyes,
I don't want to see anything through his eyes.
Very good. Well, you probably couldn't. His eyes are terrible.
Oof.
Yeah. So like, if it's Friday night, right? I'm home, whatever. It's 8 o'clock. I'm like, you know what? Let me turn on a movie. All right. Then all of a sudden, someone calls me up at like 9:30, like pre-pandemic, right? And says, "Hey, Kevin, we're all going out. Let's meet up." At that point, maybe I could say, "All right, the movie can wait." But that's few and very, very far between situations. And Tony, like, what are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing? I'm waiting to watch the rest of the movie. Should I leave? I guess because...
No, I mean, like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing that takes you away from the... What time...
All right, I'll give you an example.
No, listen, give me, like, housework shit, all right? Like, because that could, like...
What housework shit are you doing, my friend?
I just told you I told you the only situation I would leave watching a movie is if other plans came up.
Okay.
Like if someone called me while I was watching the movie and said, "Hey, we're going to the bar. Let's go."
Well, any fucking time the bar is fucking Kevin's on his way, fucking batting down the hatches.
All right, what do you want me to say? Like, that's
just, but well, I'm just saying, look, before
you
were starting,
didn't have enough time to finish this movie going into it. I would never go into a movie knowing that there was a possibility that I wouldn't finish it. Never.
Okay, well, that's you. You know what? When Matt texted us earlier and says, boys, what'd you watch? I said, you know what? I'm going to try to squeeze in some shit. You know what I squeezed in an hour and a half before we started the show tonight?
A big
dump. I
squeezed
in an hour and a half of 2 hours of the Roddy Piper show. So there you go.
Is that a new vehicle?
Yes, the A&E biography that came out last night.
I haven't watched either one of those yet. So.
Because you don't have 2 hours to watch them, I guess.
Oh, no, because I watched Rebellion, AEW. I went to work. I did a lot of stuff around the house.
So you've never stopped.
I didn't invest the time to watch it because I knew I didn't have it.
So you've never watched a pay-per-view, stopped it in the middle and say, I'll pick this up later.
It's different.
No, why it's not. Different? It's the same thing.
No, Matt, it's definitely different because each match is a different story. There's not one
Every
story.
Every movie's got more than one main story.
But they're all intertwined. Every single scene, you know what you're getting. Like I can, all right, if I watch, I don't watch anything really live. I watch Rebellion today, right? So if I know that I have the capability to pause it, then I'll pause it. But it's wrestling. It's not a movie.
Sure, but it's the same thing. It's a movie. If he has the ability, it's not like he paid $20 and went. Look, I don't agree with what he did. Let's just get that straight. If I'm going to watch a movie, if I'm going to watch a movie, I'm going to carve it out.
Yeah.
But to his point, and I don't understand why he does this, but he does have the ability to pause. I just don't understand that. If I'm going to invest in a movie, if I'm like an hour in, I'm not going to be like, well, I got to feed the cats and I got to take out the trash and I got to rub one out. And then I got to play. What? Don't look at me like that.
All fair.
And then I got to play fucking whatever weird video game your kid is playing now. We're going to stop play video games, whatever. You have that ability. I just think it's weird that you would start something if you know you're not going to finish it.
I mean, it's not like I'm buying a ticket to a movie at a theater and I'm fucking walking out in the middle of it and said, I'll come back tomorrow.
So, Tony, you said you started watching. Did you finish watching?
No, I got up to where they're training for the Mortal Kombat tournament.
So, all right, listen. All right, first of all, I have no plans on seeing it, but some of our audience might. So let me ask you this. How many days is it going to take you to watch this movie?
Well, it's only going to take me an hour and a half. I just have to find the rest of the time to watch it.
How long is the movie?
Let me ask you this. This was 5 minute increments.
Kevin's not going to let me talk tonight. Our buddy Matt Spock in the chat brought it up. Do you read a book all at once?
You know, he
books
doesn't
are
read
not
books.
Books take you longer than an hour to read.
But do you stop reading a book and go back to it?
No. First of all, I don't start reading a book.
That's your own fault.
That sounds like a Kevin problem.
Well, it's not a problem. It's Kevin greatness. That's what it is.
Oh boy!
Book reading.
I didn't realize my movie watching habits was 20 minutes of fodder for the show, but here we are. Hey, Brett Fox is joining us.
No.
We're clearly embellishing for entertainment purposes, but I just never would never carve out like only like 20 minutes when I would carve out like the time I needed to watch a movie. Like, that's, like, my plan. Like, movie night, there's a term movie night for a reason. Like, you watch a movie. That's what you do. That's your plan. That's, like, what it is. So I just found it a little perplexing. That's all, Tony. Obviously, we're joking for, you know, entertainment purposes. Just find it a little confusing. That's all.
I wasn't joking.
But,
yeah. Matt looked at me like I was...
Good for you, Matt. Good for you.
I just think it's weird that you're not going to... You're going to stop a movie in the middle of it. And you're old, so you forget shit all the time.
It's Mortal Kombat. Yeah,
that's another thing.
How long is the Mortal Kombat movie, though?
It's less than 2 hours, I think.
So you watch fucking half an hour of
it? No, I'm like 45 minutes in.
He's going to spend a month and a half watching Mortal Kombat.
I'm like 45 minutes in.
How long did it take you to watch that 4-hour Zack Ryder Justice League? A month?
Oh, I didn't watch that shit.
Oh, it was a good movie.
Well, good. How long did it take you to watch it? 4 hours or fucking 3 weeks?
No, 4 hours. The allotted time. I sat down and I knew it was going to take 4 hours.
And your asshole is probably sore from sitting in the same spot for 4 hours. Fuck
no, my chair is very comfy.
No one's saying you can't get up during a movie. No one's saying you can't pause and go to the bathroom, get popcorn, get a drink during a movie.
I don't know. The people at the Facebook chat seem to be agreeing with me, so fuck you guys.
Let me check out what these... All right,
the people in the Facebook chat... are great supporters of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Red Davis, the Rhodes Wrestling Academy graduate, he joins us in 15 minutes, trade by Dustin Rhodes. So we'll be
dummy.
We'll be talking to him for a few. There's so much to talk about. I think I don't want to go down the Impact hole right now because Red is going to call us in 15 minutes, and I don't want to start and stop the conversation. But Rebellion was last night. Yes, it's like a movie. We don't want to stop and start the conversation. Let's talk about this Mickey James thing. I got to get your guys' take on this.
Well, I kind of want to hear yours first, to be honest with you.
Well, let's enlighten the listeners and let them know exactly what happened first.
That's a great point too, Tony.
So Mickey James put. So she was released 2 weeks ago, I guess, is when they released everyone. Like April 15th, right?
Tax day.
Old tax day. Tax day was extended to May.
Well, yeah, well,
I know because I haven't done my taxes yet.
What do? Do you do it for yourself or do the old TurboTax? Or
yeah, me and Reed will sit down and do. I think we've been using Credit Karma the last couple of years. So Mickey James was released, and I guess they pack up all her shit. I really don't know what was in, I want to know what's in the bag.
Yeah.
I do. I want to know what's in there. Like, what do they? What
I do
they?
Too.
What? Like, what do you put? Like, for all those people out there that know the Shining Wizards and have been following us for like almost 10 years, like, is it Anthony Quadro style? Like, they just throw all his clothes in a fucking bag, and he calls it a day? Or is there like shit in there, like valuable shit? Like, is it her boots? Is it like some jewelry?
It's one thing if he puts his own shit, it's one thing if he puts his own shit in a garbage bag, or if she packed her own shit in a garbage bag. But this is like your former boss. Like, they usually give you, like, in any normal job, they usually tell you if you get fired or you leave, pack up your stuff you have to the end of the day. This apparently is not one of those situations. They have to send you whatever you left behind. So I'm with you, Matt. I would love to know what was actually in it. But at the end of the day, I don't know if it matters.
Can I ask a weird question?
Yes.
I mean, working as a wrestler for WWE, it's not a 9-to-5. You don't have an office, right? So,
exactly.
Like, what are you leaving behind? It's not like Mickey James had office space where she's got plants and fucking awards and shit on the wall.
So,
okay, come back, go ahead.
Sorry, Kev, I hate to cut you off there. So, apparently it was her gear. I guess if you're traveling during the pandemic, I guess you have your gear sent to wherever the Thunderdome is, where Tony might be tonight at 10 p.m., depending on how much energy he has left.
I might have a movie to watch.
That's true. You do have a movie to watch. It's just when you choose to watch it.
Yeah.
So this says it was her gear. So I guess maybe so you just have like a carry-on. I don't know what this – I haven't traveled since the pandemic, but it was her gear. So instead of putting it in like a nice little box, I guess they put it in a garbage bag and sent it to her.
No, I thought it was in a box, but it was inside a garbage bag in the box.
Or – no, I think the garbage bag was in the box.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Gear's expensive, man.
I don't understand. I'm going to start sending all the boxes of wizardry in garbage bags.
Love you for listening.
I'm stealing this gimmick 100%. I'm stealing this gimmick like Mark Carano's stealing fucking belts.
That was a fucking big Easter egg popping out of that story too.
Who was that tweeted that, by the way? There was a woman that said that he steals belts and stores them under his bed or something like that.
Was it his ex-wife?
That would make sense.
I think so. I don't have it in my notes. I just have that he was fired. Yeah. But apparently this isn't the first time this has happened to a female. It happened to Maria Kanellis and it happened to Jillian Hall too. And even CM Punk chimed in with some jokery.
But did they send Jillian Hall's mole in a garbage bag?
Hopefully they Ziploc that shit as a hazmat.
And some worms. Oh, I got a new coaster. A new koozie from Cheap Shot Party. It's Ric Flair.
Oh, Ric Flair.
Ric Flair. It says a very drunk wrestler. And an awesome picture of him carrying a 12-pack of Miller Lite.
I was about to say, it's a very Miller Lite homage there.
I love my Cheap Shot Party. Check them out. Cheap Shot Party. Just Google them. They make these awesome koozies. They're like fucking $4 a pop. Supports local business. They're in Bloomfield. Bloomfield, New Jersey.
Get out of here.
I'm all in here.
They're in the town next to me?
Yeah, right, buddy. Hit them up on the IG. Save yourself some shipping.
Oh yeah, I'll save myself on all sorts of shipping. I'm ordering in bulk, Cheap Shot Party.
So I think it's pretty shitty.
Yeah.
For them to do something like this, especially in the day and age of social media where, you know, like Mickie James has nothing to lose. Like she's
I can't tell if we're on delay or not.
Can I ask a fair question?
A fair question you may, my friend.
What if her gear had not been washed? What if we're talking it smelled like a fucking Vader proportions? Would you just want to put that in a box and send it out? I would think you'd want to put it in some sort of plastic to begin with.
You
right?
could put it, you're the fucking WWE. You just made $6.2 million off of WrestleMania. You could find a better way to package it instead of having old John Cena of hefty man bust out the fucking garbage bags.
I mean, you're not getting the packaging back. So, like, why just you could afford something better than a freaking garbage bag?
But I mean, listen, if they're shipping Vader's tights across the country and it's not in a bag, somebody might want to open that up to make sure there's not a fucking corpse rotting in there.
You're not. It's not sitting in a seat next to you on a plane. It's in store. It's in like underneath or wherever it is.
Somebody I don't want to mention. Oh, fuck it. Catherine's asking in the Facebook, girls aren't disgusting. And I can tell you assuredly, some girls are pretty fucking disgusting.
Listen, bartend, Matt, you could probably test this work in the service industry. Like walk into a woman's room in any bar on the face of the earth, they are 10 times worse and 10 times more disgusting than any men's room you'll ever find. Fact.
That is a fact. I've seen a lot of strange women's crotches out on the pizza truck, unprovoked. You're just sloppy drunk and you're falling. You're fucking falling over chairs and tables because you don't know how to fucking act like an adult. You're gross. You're a gross monster.
I was just talking about that.
Have some respect, you fucking whore.
You ghoul.
Yeah, you fucking monster.
Again, just talking about the rooms. They're gross.
No, women are just as gross as men. Just because every guy you stand next to at a wrestling show doesn't know what a stick of fucking deodorant is, doesn't mean every girl to your right doesn't know how to wash her fucking nasty crotch.
Tony?
In your minge.
I was hoping for Tony to comment on how Matt says wash.
Worsh. Worsh your crotch. How about you wash your gear before you send it back to Mickie James, you sons of bitches?
You know, you think they would have a washing machine or something there at the performance center.
A washing machine.
Not a fucking garbage bag. You're a goddamn multi-billion-dollar company. Yeah. You should have a better... The fucking shit you order off of WWEshop.com gets packaged better than this.
That's true.
And it's fucking Mickie James. It's not like some... I mean, it's unacceptable across the board, but it's not like it's some fucking indie girl who just got her fucking neck broken by Nia Jax for no reason because she's the fucking... greatest wrestler in the world. It's fucking literally garbage. WWE is literally garbage. Mark Carano's stealing all the fucking belts. He's a ghoul. He's a fucking uber ghoul. Watch Total Divas. He looks like a fucking petter ass. He's out of here. They're cleaning house. No, not easy. Fuck them. Fuck the WWE. Bunch of horse shit.
Well, they fired him.
Good. He should have been fired. You fuck. He's an asshole. He sucks
fire
on Total
me.
Diva.
I'm already fired. Fire me. I'm already fired.
Why? What? I don't... fucking piss me off. He's pissing me off. They're all pissing me off.
He always rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, he was a dick on Total Divas. Go back and watch Total Divas. He has no sense of humor. He's like a slice of white bread. He's fucking boring. He's bland. He sucks. I'm glad he's fired.
Is that show still on, Total Divas?
I have no idea.
Gave up on that, huh?
I think it transformed into Total Bellas?
No, two separate shows.
Yeah, I don't know. I fell off the Total Divas wagon a while ago.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Now I'm thinking about the dirty girls in the fucking bathroom. Thanks.
Oh, they're fucking gross. When I was a manager at Chili's, dude, the fucking tampon thing was overflown. There's fucking toilet paper everywhere. You know that story I told when I was a manager at Chili's. The lady took blood. She shit herself. She went in the bathroom. She rubbed it all over the fucking walls. I had to call the first aid squad. This lady went on a blind date. Quick story before Red Davis calls
in. I don't want to hear this.
Well, I got another story, too. You go first.
We have the manager at Chili's, whatever. It was like a Tuesday night. There's nothing going on. It's fucking quiet. this woman comes in and she sits down on the benches up front, and they have like the vinyl benches. She's waiting for somebody. And I guess she had given blood before she came on her blind date. Like there was a blood drive or something. So while she was sitting there, she like fucking passed out. And then she woke up and realized that she shit herself. So she ran into the woman's room. So then the host is like, Matt, there's like some shit on the bench up here. And I'm like, just clean it up. He's like, no, like there's really shit on the bench. So I go up and there's some fucking shit on the bench. So I grab the bench. I take it out back. I fucking hose it down. I soap it down. We clean it nice and good. We bring the bench back up. So then I grab, so then a server's like, Matt, there's a woman in the bathroom and she, there's shit everywhere and she won't come out. And I'm like, what?
Did she shit on the bench again?
No. So she shit herself. And because she was on a blind date, she was embarrassed. And she panicked to clean herself up and literally smeared shit all over the ladies' room. So one of the servers, she was like she was like a first, she did like first aid. She was like a, like an EMT on the side. So like I sent her in there. I'm like, you got to go in here and see what this lady's deal is. Like, so she goes in, she talks to her. She's like, she wants you to call the first aid squad. So call the first aid squad. They come, they pick her up, they wrap her like a mummy and they take her out of here. And then, my buddy Dom was, he was there. He used to be a manager there and then he was transferred to a new store that was opening. So we had people training there. I'm like, Dom, what do I do? He's like, you got to have them fill out the incident report. Cause there's an incident here just to make sure that you cover your ass. So I grab the incident book. I go outside to this guy, and I'm like, all right, buddy, I just need a little information. I'm like, what's your name? I'm like, what's her name? What's her last name? He's like, I don't know what her last name is. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know what her last name is? He's like, this was a blind date. I fucking smack him on the shoulder. I'm like, good luck, buddy. I go back inside. I'm like, Dom's like, did you finish the report? I'm like, nah, man, it was a blind date. He didn't know her last name, so I just kind of left it at that. He starts fucking howling. And then it was like, somebody's got to go in there and clean up the shit. And I was like, all right, let's do it. Give me the mask. Give me the gloves. Give me the scrubby. Bro, it was everywhere.
Wow, you're a better man than I am. Holy cow.
It's a great story.
So. Let's try to dissect this if we can.
Oh, really? We're going to go further? We're deep diving?
What is, if you panic, I've panicked before. I've been in a very panicked situation. At what point is your first natural reaction to smear poop all over the wall?
She was trying to clean herself up, but she just couldn't get clean. So she was like grabbing at like everything.
Oh, okay.
Like in the stall, the vanity. It wasn't like she just like wrote like red rum all over the walls and shit. All
right. I thought she was like, all right, I gotta get this out of me. I might as well put it on the wall. Better there than here.
I guess so. Yeah. So don't, I don't know how this story came about, but don't put, I don't know. I think this is, it's an embarrassment. Triple H and Stephanie, they got involved with it. Everyone is disgusted. They fired this fucking schmuck.
Yeah, but I heard this guy was on the chopping block already. I heard they were looking for a reason to fire him because they had brought in John Laurinaitis to sort of do his job.
I don't think this is a, how do you say it? His head deserved the role for this. I think it was an excuse. Like, I don't think it was like, oh, we were looking to get rid of him anyway, so let's do it. If it was somebody under his employ or somebody under his chain of command, 100% deserved to be kicked to the curb because there's no excuse for that. Like Matt said, we're not talking about, and again, it shouldn't happen to anybody, but we're not talking about some NXT trainee. You know what I mean? We're not saying that someone just got signed to a developmental deal. We're talking about Mickey James, Hall of Famer, 100% certified. Anywhere she goes, TNA, WWE, without a doubt. And the fact that she drew attention to it and that it brought others out to say that, hey, this guy's kind of a douchey, something needed to be done. So I don't think it was a scapegoat firing, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's pretty douchey. And people don't talk because it's like, oh, we can't badmouth the WWE because they don't, you know, they'll blackball us from wrestling. Mickey James says, I don't give a fuck. My husband's the NWA world champion. I deserve to be treated better like this. And fucking goddamn it, the WWE shop packs this shit better than you guys do.
And she's got a grown-ass woman podcast. So she's a grown-ass woman.
She does her own podcast too?
Yeah, her, Victoria and, oh God, The the TNA. Oh my God, SoCal Val.
Oh no shit.
Yeah, they have a podcast together.
I can't keep track of all the new.
Oh, it's nuts.
They're rolling them out.
It's hard for me to listen to podcasts because sometimes I could only listen for like 20 minutes at a time, and you know that wouldn't be a thing that Kevin or Matt would appreciate.
That's not true.
Anyway, we've got Red Davis on the line. Should we let him in?
Yeah, let's bring in old Red. Let's see if anyone ever packed his shit in a trash bag.
We actually got quite a few people on the Facebook right now who seem to be Red Davis supporters, so huzzah.
I'm in.
And hopefully he will be in soon. It says he's joining. Here he comes.
There he is.
There's Red. What's going on, Mr. Davis? How are you?
Good, good. How are you guys?
Great, nice. Great. We're just talking about a little Mickey James action. You ever have anyone send you a bunch of your gear in a trash bag?
No, I had my gear thrown out of a locker room, but not in a trash bag.
What'd you do to get your gear thrown out of a locker room?
I was new.
That's a bunch of horse shit. I don't agree with that.
I was new to the business, and they said, you know, I didn't belong here, changed somewhere else. I changed in a restroom at a gym.
That's well, so funny, because I just watched the Miz documentary, and there was a whole thing about that's how when he came in, it was like, you're not changing here anymore, man.
It is legit. It's a legit thing. If you're green in the business, certain promotions, it happens. But just overcome it. That's all you can do, and just put a smile on your face, go out there, and have a damn good match.
Absolutely.
Red, for those not familiar with your pedigree here in the wrestling business, I know you are the first graduate from the RWA, the Rhodes Wrestling Academy, trained by Dustin Rhodes. Tell us a little bit about that experience and why you decided to go into professional wrestling. We always like to go down the rabbit hole and figure out what got you in the business.
Yeah, what got me in the business definitely was Bret Hart. Bret Hart has always been a personal idol of mine from day one. And a lot of people don't like Bret, and we all know why. We all know what happened in 97, but Bret has always been the guy. Technical wrestling, you know, mat wrestling, telling a story, right? That's what we're here in the business. I see it right there. I still got that, man. Still got that action figure. even Shawn Michaels was huge for me back then. I used to have long hair back in the day, go to school and put the little boy toy ponytails back then. That's what got me in, and it took me a few years after high school to get really into the business. I always wanted to stick to basketball and be in the NBA, but I realized 5'8 isn't going to get me too far in the NBA. So then late 2017 hit, and I went to a school, TNT Championship Wrestling. That's where I went and graduated from there. Did a couple 6 months in. Just won the tag team belt with my old tag team partner, Zane Havoc, did that. And then early 2019, tore my knee. Ooh. Tore a little bit of my knee, yeah. About 10 minutes into the match, I did one move, and it sounded just like a rubber band hit. So that sucked, yeah. And the ref heard it, and he's like, hey, man, you're all right? And I'm like, yeah, we got another 20 minutes. We got to keep going. Kept going, but then I took – about a year and a half off, you know, had my last match on Valentine's Day, the month before the pandemic hit us. Did that, wrestled a gentleman named Madness. That was my last match. And as soon as I saw Dustin Rhodes put on his Instagram, he was opening Rhodes Wrestling Academy. I was like, man, if this is meant to be, I'll get the call. I'll get into the school. And little be known, he called me to get into the Rhodes Wrestling Academy. Best thing that could ever happen to me, to be honest. Best thing ever.
So you mentioned Bret Hart being a fan. I mean, what is it? We're all wrestling fans. That's why we do this. That's why we've been doing the podcast for 10 years. Right. That's why you got in the business. Is it like a holy shit moment when Dustin Rhodes is calling you, Dustin Runnels, whatever acronym name he goes by? Are you like, holy shit?
Absolutely. Yeah. I went to my roommate's room at the time, and I had put Dustin on mute as he's talking to me. And I go to my roommate's room, and I'm like, this better not be a rib. Like, let me see if my roommate's actually calling me just to be a jerk. He's passed out in the room, and I'm like, okay, this might be real. So I get back on the phone, and it's Dustin Rhodes, man. And it's a surreal moment. Like, you don't know what to say. You're shaking, you're jittery. You're kind of like, damn, like, this is real. So yeah, it was a surreal call when he called me that day. It was awesome.
I feel like there's not enough time in the world or in anyone's real like real lifetime to learn everything that Dustin Rhodes has learned in this business or what he could teach you. So like, what is like one of the first things that he taught you about the business, whether it be in the ring, outside the ring? Like, what was like the first thing that stood out, piece of advice that stood out in your head?
Psychology and how to tell a story. First thing, that's one of the first things. See, it's, you got to go in there and you can't do, you know, what the Young Bucks do. Not everybody can do what the Young Bucks do. And, you know, Escaleras and Topes, you know, Destroyers, all that. He wants to start you from the basics and how to tell a story and how to draw the fans into you and into what you're trying to sell to them. And that's one of the first things that'll always stick into my head is how to tell a story. And he's 100% there for you. He's like a father figure.
Does he ever tell you stories about Dusty?
Oh, all the time. All the time. Yeah. Anyone that stick was out? That's a lot of them, to be honest. The one that always stuck out was the classic promo. The promo that Dusty does. The
Son of a Plumber.
Yes, that one. That's the classic one. I mean, that's one of the things he teaches us how to do. It's like you do topics of a promo. You have to do, for me, it's kind of like how he taught me with three bullet points or a couple bullet points of topics you want to hit. And that's how Dusty presented the Son of a Plumber promo, was how, you know, topics. And he drew his audience in, you know, he was here, went here, put it back to medium level and ended right up top. And the audience was like, damn, I want more. So. But plenty of stories on Dusty. I just wish he was still here with us so we could also learn from him promo-wise as well.
We're on the line with Red Davis at Red_Davis_. Red is spelled with two Ds on the Twitter machine. Give him a follow. So you mentioned you took some time away from wrestling pre-pandemic and then the wrestling school opened. So you've kind of trained and graduated from the Rhodes Wrestling Academy during a pretty unique time. How did you face those challenges knowing Dustin called you, he wants you in the school, and then I don't know the timeline, maybe you can elaborate on that, but does he call you and you get lined up for the school and then the pandemic happens, or are you already at the school when everything goes down?
We're already at the school while the pandemic is still going on. So, you know, I got the call probably around late October. That's when, you know, we're still mid pandemic. We're still trying to figure out this thing and figure out how we can live normal lives while being quarantined.
Right.
So, I mean, when that happened, it's like, okay, you know, I got to make sure. I was getting COVID tested every like 30, 45 days. I was doing that, one, because of my regular job, plus to make sure I'm still cool for the academy. I found a bench on OfferUp. I found dumbbells, and I would just work out at the house just to stay away from everybody. And make sure that, you know, I was as safe as possible and keep everybody that was going to the class, you know, as safe as possible as well. So that was kind of the main goal for sure.
Did you find out how or why Dustin chose you? Like why he reached out to you?
In my head, I think something stuck out. I think out of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people that applied to the school, something stuck out. And it drew me to him to be like, hey, you know, this guy's really good. You know, we can work. We have something here, you know. So I think that's what it was for sure. Yeah.
So what's a typical day at the Rhodes Wrestling Academy like for you?
Typical day, man. Of course, warm-ups, drills, blow-up drills, stuff like that. Just stuff to get the blood flowing, and learning new aspects of new moves, new aspects of the business, just things like that. Real easy stuff. I mean, not easy because it beats the crap out of you, but there's nothing easy. There's nothing easy in this business. It's tough and it'll beat you up. But yeah, a typical day was just warm ups and just, you know, drills after drills. So that way you can learn repetitiveness on everything.
Did he teach you anything about managing your expectations and say something like we've had guys who trained under Seth Rollins, like Zicky Dice? And like, does he teach you how to manage your expectations and be like, hey, listen, just because you're training under me doesn't mean you're going to get any opportunities that other people that have worked just as hard of you will get, as hard as you will get. Has he taught you anything about that in terms of how to manage your expectations of the business and how hard you have to work?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's mainly you have to put in the work, as much work as somebody else does. Don't always expect somebody to come knocking at your door and be like, hey, Red, we want you to come to NXT, or we want you to AEW or Ring of Honor. Definitely not how it's going to work. You always got to make sure that, it's kind of like how The Rock says, you have to be the hardest worker in the room and do what your competition wants. And for everything we do in this business, it's a competition. You always want to be better than that last match, or you know, your last opponent or your next opponent. So that's just something. Yeah, expectations. You know, you always had to tell yourself, yes, you might be that good, but there's always somebody better that you want to strive for to be better than. So, yeah, expectations were definitely set.
What do you enjoy most about pro wrestling?
Honestly, everything. The money and the fame really doesn't matter to me. The money and the fame, that if that comes, cool. But if I'm happier when I'm in the middle of that ring and I'm able to have the fans, whenever they are, to come back for them to cheer and or boo me. That's what makes me happy. Going out there and being able to tell a story and heck, get the crap beat out of me for somebody's enjoyment or beat the crap out of somebody else for their enjoyment. But yeah, that's what makes me the happiest. If I'm not in a ring, you know, doing that, I'm not happy. And that's one thing that gets me.
For those that aren't familiar with Red Davis, what is your wrestling character like in the ring? Heel, face? Are you a dick? Are you a good guy? Are you a baby face? Are you throwing bang at people? What are you doing? What's your gimmick? What's your deal?
I guess for me, I like to be a heel. I like to be hated. That's one thing that
you look like such a nice guy.
It gets me going, man. Like it's an adrenaline rush. Like I've had beer thrown at me before. I've had people wait for me by my car to fight me.
Wow.
You know, because I've insulted them. Like I'm a Spurs fan, and I insulted somebody with a San Antonio Spurs cap. I got it and I threw it out and I stepped on it. And at the end of the day, the guy still waited to fight me, and he was like, "Man, I want to fight this guy. Like, what the heck?" But no, I prefer to make them hate me. It's the little things like that. You can look at somebody and they're hating you without saying anything. They're hating you. You just got to look into their eyes and see it. And when you see it, you want to draw them into you and just make them hate you more. And that's what I like to do. And that's one thing, you know, that it also taught. It's not just not done overnight. It's just, you just got to pick up a craft. You know, you always learn new things every day, which is the best part of the business.
Unless you got a face like mine, people just naturally hate me. So, we could do like a Nick Cage face off thing. We could switch faces.
No, I just throw some shots out there. Like I'll just pinch the jaw a little bit, or you know, give you a little eyebrow and flex the muscles or something. Like I'll just be as arrogant as possible. Yeah,
we were flexing our muscles hard last week. We all had our shirts off. Tombstone. What do you know about? Do you know about Tombstone Jesus?
Tombstone Jesus. Never. Don't even.
Oh boy.
When you're done with this, look up some Tombstone Jesus. You'll be a fan, 100%.
All right.
He's an interesting character. Professional wrestler. I don't know about the professional part, but he's an interesting character.
So let me ask you: when you're training with Dustin, is anybody whipping out the gold dust? Is anybody doing the?
No. No,
for real? No, no, nobody? Nobody plays with him like just, that?
Out of 100% respect, not at all. Couldn't do it. Yeah.
Does he do it?
No, it's 100% business there. Yeah. 100% business training. And, you know, it's just him. You know, it's him one-on-one with you. So, yeah, that's, yeah, 100% business.
Wait, so it's one-on-one? Like there's nobody else that trains with him? Like it's just you guys down there, or there's nobody else?
Yeah, it's just him is the trainer with a group of us as a class. Yeah, not just one-on-one, but it's just him training you and learning the basics. You start from, if you think you know this much, you can start right back at the bottom and learn just like everybody else, you know.
Okay, so So what was that like coming in, having wrestled before? And, you know, like you have to just walk in there and throw everything out the window? Are you starting from scratch or?
Starting from scratch is, that's what I wanted personally to do. I felt like I was trained one way and it may not have been the right way to everybody else. So I wanted to go back in and start from scratch and learn, you know, how to redo a wrist lock or, you know, how to lock up the even a better way, how to make it look more aggressive, stuff like that. You know, it's a, it just wasn't throwing everything out the window, just kind of like wanting to relearn from the bottom up.
That's so wild. You never hear of schools like run. Almost unheard of. So,
yeah.
So to have that, that's got to be absolutely remarkable for you and whoever else is in the school with you.
Yeah, it was an awesome experience. I mean, you get other, when you go to other schools, you get other coaches and you learn different, learn different tactics or different ways from different coaches. But, you know, Justin is right there with you, one-on-one in the ring with you, teaching you how to do this, that, this and that. But that's what drew me to this, was like, there's hundreds of other schools out there in the world. There's flatbacks with Sean Spears and Tyler Breeze.
Yeah.
You know, there's Tom Pritchard School in Tennessee. There's Hybrid School of Wrestling here in San Antonio. And those are all great schools. But there's only one Dustin Rhodes.
That's true.
Right? There's only one. So that's what got me. It was like, man, if I can learn from Dustin and I can use what he taught me in the ring and how to create my own brand as Red Davis and get this Red Davis character going, then screw it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about the Red Davis character. What are your goals as Red Davis, and what do you want to accomplish in terms of character growth?
I guess I'll start with the short-term goal. Short-term goal for sure is to land 100% more bookings. I know a lot of people aren't booking right now because of the pandemic, right. And you need COVID vaccines to travel, but that's my short-term goal. Long-term goal, to get this character going, first and foremost, is get to AEW. That's the goal. That should be everybody's goal. If that's not anybody's goal, to create their brand character and get them going and get them over, nobody should be in the business. That's not the goal. But my goal is for sure to get to AEW on Dynamite and wrestle Cody Rhodes one time or more, but just to get there in Dynamite to wrestle Cody Rhodes, that's the goal, or NXT. As much as I admire Adam Cole too, Adam Cole's huge on Adam Cole. And I'm like, if I could just get to NXT and wrestle Adam, that'd be it. But to get my character over as Red Davis, just putting myself out there, branding myself and talking to different people, talking to different promoters, podcasts, emails, sending emails out, getting my tapes out there, photo shoots, you know, everything like that, getting this character really up and going.
You mentioned AEW and we're seeing we're seeing trickles of the Rhodes Wrestling Academy graduates starting to show up on AEW Dark and AEW Dark Elevation. Is that something that might be in the future for Red Davis?
That I'm not too sure. The future is always, you know, untold. You know, we're never guaranteed anything tomorrow or the next week or so. So, I mean, I'm just going to work as hard as I can. I'm going to keep putting all the work. Eventually, somebody will see it. But in my mind, the hardest workers in the room always work in silence. And when they work in silence, good opportunities come their way. So that's usually just what I do. So hopefully, eventually, I'll get a call to go to Elevation or Dark. It'll be a great blessing in the making, but yeah, if I just keep putting in the work, somebody will eventually notice.
Dustin, psst, Dustin, get this guy.
You want me to tweet Dustin after the show? I'll take care of it.
Oh, please don't, Tony.
Don't you dare tweet Dustin Rhodes.
Don't do that.
we did a tournament last 2 years ago. It was called Sting of the Ring. It was we took 32 wrestlers that all wore face paint at some point or another throughout their career, and we set up a tournament where people could vote on them. Tony tagged the wrong, I don't know who the fuck he tagged, but it wasn't Dustin Rhodes. And Dustin Rhodes was like, bro, what are you doing?
No, I tagged the wrong Jeff Hardy. Whatever I said to Dustin, I didn't put the comma in the right place, so he thought I was insulting him.
Oh, that's what it was.
Oh, geez.
he sent me back an I don't give a fuck picture. And I was like, no, dude, I'm on your side. I didn't mean that. Don't worry about it. Him and I have a good rapport. I'll get you in. Don't worry.
the voice of reason, T-Dunk.
Get him into a school he's already in, Tony? Is that what you're saying?
Elevate him. Get him to the next level. We don't want him to get to 7 level, but...
Yeah, don't worry about planches and topes. Tony will take care of it for you.
I definitely shouldn't be doing all that. I will just stick to the mat, break a body part down, put him in a sharpshooter. Let's call it a day.
All right, I got
that. The sharpshooter's the finish. I like it.
I gotta ask you, Red, and this is where we either grow together, we bond, Shining Wizards Matt and Red, or this all falls apart, brother. All right. Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels, who you picking?
Oh, Bret Hart.
Yes.
Bret Hart all day.
All right, that's all I needed to. Some people, Shawn Michaels. No, get out of here. All right, with that nonsense. Just because he found Jesus, he's still not a piece of shit. Get out of here.
If we're going to talk about wrestling.
Yeah.
It's Bret Hart, Bryan Danielson, Nigel McGuinness.
Nice.
Ooh.
So those are my top three technical wrestlers right there. Top three. Shawn Michaels character-wise and all the high-flying, perfect. But if we want to talk about wrestling... Those three guys are right there.
When was the last time you wrestled in front of a crowd? Was it that Valentine's Day? Or I know you guys don't give a shit in Texas. You're filling baseball stadiums. You're like kissing people on the side. They don't care down in Texas. And that's great. Texas is his own country. But when was the last time you got to wrestle in front of... Well, it is. I've been there. They don't give a shit.
It's a cluster right now. I don't know what's going on. Right now, but I as long as I stick to my work in the gym and home, I'm good.
So you haven't had an opportunity to work in front of a crowd?
Not yet.
Okay.
Last time I worked in front of a crowd was Valentine's Day of last year.
Right. All right. Yeah, you said that earlier. I just want to. I didn't know if there was something.
Yeah.
Because I know, is SWF is a Texas promotion?
Yeah, SWE.
SWE is a Texas promotion. I know Booker T is still doing stuff down there. I just don't know if they have fans, so I was just curious.
I think theirs is maybe ROW may or may not have fans. Don't quote me on that. I know SWE has fans. They just recently had a show where Big Cass debuted on that one. I think they had a little bit of a crowd at that. But I don't think ROW has
crowds.
They do. They're probably socially distanced, or maybe an outside show, which they have had fans, you know, sitting in their cars or outside of their cars, socially distanced from everybody.
I like that. That's unique. So you're jonesing to get back in front of the crowd and have somebody throw beer and spit on you and all that weird heel
it's shit. Like a
that
drug, man. It's like you're itching at it to get back in front of these people, and it's kind of like how the guys were. Everybody with that mania. All the wrestlers came out for men and women, and you could see the emotion in their face. So, like Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre came out, led that entrance, first one to come out, and you could see the pure emotion in his eyes. Like, damn, man, you know, you don't realize how much you need the fans or, you know, until they're gone. And when they're gone, you're like, damn, what do we do now? Like, now you got to improvise. So it's weird. It's definitely weird.
You mentioned Drew McIntyre. You mentioned WrestleMania. You mentioned Bryan Danielson before. How do you feel about him saying that he felt detached from the crowd at WrestleMania 37?
Was that Bryan's words?
Yeah. He said he felt detached. Here's what he said. It's taken me time to fully process what the experience was like because it wasn't like a normal thing. It was really weird, like an out-of-body experience. When I'm wrestling, I feel everything and felt like... I really enjoyed it. This was weird. I was out there, and it felt like I was detached. It was so strange, and the fact that before the match started, I got the strange feeling like, is this what it's like before you die? Am I going to die? I was like, oh, well, okay, I don't know why or how it's happening, but it was unlike everything I have felt while wrestling. He also goes on to say, like, maybe it's time for him to close that chapter in his life. Is that weird for someone?
I see what he's saying about the out-of-body experience. most definitely. I mean, these guys have been gone. The fans have been gone from us since March of last year. So it's like I was saying, it once they're taken away from you, once you have good things taken away from you like that, you're like, damn, yeah, now we need to start from square one. Just like training, you're training in front of nobody. You're having little matches in front of nobody. So you got to learn how to improvise and work like there is a crowd watching you. And yeah, they're in the Thunderdome, but there's nothing like having the fans, whether it be two people in a bingo hall to 75,000 people at Raymond J Stadium, whenever we get 75,000 people back. But there's nothing like these guys chanting your name, like nothing, whether you're a heel or a face. It's an awesome feeling. So I'm sure it was like for him, he's like, man, like he's in the ring, but he's got his out of body experience happening next to him probably. And he's just like, it's an awesome feeling. So, and I really hope he doesn't retire anytime soon, cause that's going to hit hard. but yeah, Brian, man, if he was still younger, much younger, I would love to just one day just hit the ring with him and just wrestle.
He's an avid listener to this podcast, so I'm sure that he's checking it out.
Brian, if you're watching, at all due respect, sir, it is a goal to be in the same ring with you and tear it up. That's a goal. That's out of all due respect.
Well, you know, nobody ever retires in wrestling, so. That door is always open.
True.
Terry Funk, he's battling COVID, and then he's going to work in like 4 weeks. Don't worry. He'll be out there forever.
Terry Funk never dies like Mick Foley. Never.
Forever.
Do you, how do I say this? How valuable, like you can't put a price on being trained and working with Dustin Rhodes, like to think about, and I think it kind of flies under a lot of people's radars. He came in super young. He was Dusty's kid. And then he had to reinvent himself in this very androgynous character that was way ahead of its time. And a lot of people point back to him as the starting point of the Attitude Era. Like if there's anyone to learn from, and I know there's tons of great schools out there, but Dustin is like, man, he so flies under the radar. But if you're like, man, it's Dustin or somebody else, I would go with Dustin because he's seen it all. He's done it all. He's been at the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. And you get to roll around in the ring with him. Do you guys do like one? Like, do you have like a 7-minute match with Dustin Rhodes? And when you're done, you're like, I just fucking wrestled Dustin Rhodes and it was awesome.
I wish. If there was ever a match between Dustin and I, that would be. That's another dream right there, just to say you've wrestled your coach before. But no, I mean, it was all, you know, just everybody there, never just like a one-on-one match or anything like that. Like, you know, teaching you how to do this, how to do that, but everybody's watching and everybody's learning. So it's all rotation, all rotation. But yeah, to put a price tag on to learn from Dustin, absolutely priceless. Best thing ever. And you know, you've got Cody with the Nightmare Factory and QT. And to learn from them, they're also awesome. But again, it's Dustin. You know, you couldn't put a price tag on that.
My apologies for Nellie's butthole. She doesn't understand that we have a guest. Usually she presents it to Tony and Kevin. She doesn't understand we have a guest.
That means she likes you.
Yes, she's a big fan. She's a Red Davis fan. Send her a T-shirt. She'll get fucking cat.
I'm working on T-shirts. I'll make sure to send you guys one when they come out. I'll send you guys a Red Davis T-shirt.
Matt wears a 4XL.
I don't know. This is not Dave LaGreca where you send me a size that is way too big for me. If it's not in black, that's great because every black T-shirt I own is covered in fucking cat hair.
No, it'll definitely be red.
Red Davis. That makes sense.
I am working on that. I'm drawing up some logos right now. I've been working on that for a couple weeks and just trying to really get this brand out there. Really get it well known.
As things start to open up, are you starting to see like an influx of interest in you, or are you starting to take on more bookings, or are you still waiting until like the coast is clear?
I wouldn't say I'm waiting for the coast to clear because I'm already about to have my second dose of the vaccination. So I think once that happens, once I get my second vaccination this week, I'll be a little more safer to travel. I'll feel much safer to travel, and I'll feel safer around other people knowing that I'm vaccinated. But you know, it's I've emailed a couple bookers, and I've trying to see where we are. A lot of them are booked up from now until maybe July or August. So, you know, a lot of them are getting back to me slowly but surely. But, you know what? Eventually somebody's just going to be like, hey, Red, you know, let's give you an opportunity. And that's all I need. That's all I want is one opportunity to show the world, whether it be on a live feed on Facebook or in front of five people, just to show them that I love this business and I really want to belong in this business and I want to be somebody in this business, not just for the money and the fame, but because I love this business.
And we're talking to Red Davis at Red with two D's underscore Davis underscore. Follow him on Twitter. He's the first class graduate from the Rhodes Wrestling Academy, trained by Dustin Rhodes himself, Goldust, Seven, whatever else you want to call him. The Natural, one of the best WCW songs ever, by the way. The Natural is a fucking banger. I don't care what you two say. I know Kevin's with me. Kevin loves that. You love the Natural, Dustin Rhodes song.
I love the Natural.
Yeah, why would we hate it? That's a great song.
I don't know. Tony's weird. Not you, Kevin.
I'm weird.
Tony.
You're the one that pulled Seven. I mean, are we insulting the guy or what? My God.
No, but it's part of his lineage.
I mean, he also wanted to get breast implants. Did you mention that?
Oh, God. No.
I didn't. I don't know. I don't think Red talked to Goldust about his fake titty, son. He was like, yo, tell me about them fake titties you were going to get, son. Hit me with a drop down. No, this guy, he's the silence behind the violence. He goes in there, he's eyes open, ears open, mouth shut. That's why.
Of course.
That's why he's going to be successful, unlike the three of us or me, because I don't know when to shut the fuck up.
That served you well.
It's very entertaining for the listeners and the watchers in the Facebook land.
Sadly.
Seven. It was a terrible... Dude, come on.
Seven was awful.
Yeah, that's the end of WCW, man.
Next time you see Dustin, make sure you bring up Seven. I'm sure you'll have a
wonderful
conversation.
No, don't do that. It's a terrible idea. It's like asking Barry Darso about the Repo Man. Terrible idea.
No, Barry Darso's done a lot worse than the Repo Man, bro.
Yeah, but apparently that drives him nuts when people ask him about the Repo Man.
Wait, does signings as the Repo Man.
If the money's right.
Wait. Repo Man or Hole in One Darso is the worst gimmick. I would think Hole in One Darso.
What about Blacktop Bully?
Blacktop Bully's okay. I mean, at least they tried.
It's not bad. It's not better than Repo Man.
No, but neither is Hole in One Darso, and he did that. He did that. Doesn't seem to stick in his craw.
Hold on, the Repo Man was terrible. He stole Macho Man's hat. How dare you?
IRS stole Tatanka's headdress. What are we talking about here? It's wrestling.
Well, the fucking Indians weren't paying taxes, bro.
Native Americans.
Whatever. You got to pay your taxes, people. I got my IRS. I got my Money Inc. t-shirt on tonight, boys.
Well, good for you.
I just got it in my pro wrestling crate.
And?
Sorry, Red. We're all over the place. We're maniacs here.
This is good.
Oh. You got a dog?
I do. I got two.
What are their names? Let's talk dogs.
I have a Australian Kelpie Shepherd. His name is Tony Stark. And we have a miniature pincher named Bruce Wayne.
Oh.
Nice.
All right. Let me ask you a question, Red. Right? You sit down. You're going to watch a movie, right? You watch the movie the whole way through, right?
All the time, yeah.
All right, just making sure somebody one of these things is not like the other on this podcast.
No, Matt asked this question very, very, very terribly, and sometimes he should shut up. Have you ever had situations where you start a movie, you stop it for whatever reason, and then go back to it later? Does that disrupt you? I mean, are you cool with that?
I can't do that. That it'll bother the hell out of me if I start a movie and stop it, which is why I haven't seen the Snyder Cut of the Justice League yet. Because I'm hearing a lot of people tell me they got to do increments. They got to do 2 or 3 days. And I'm like, no. If I'm going to watch the Snyder Cut, I got to see all 4 hours in one day.
That's it. See?
So you would carve out a time of your day knowing, hey, I'm watching this movie today.
Oh, absolutely.
You would carve out.
Yeah, that's what you do. That's what I did.
Absolutely. I will put a lot of the Rock's new drink, Zoa. I will drink two of those.
Hey, what is that?
I'll grab some popcorn and I'll sit there for 4 hours and figure it out.
Wait, what are you drink? What's a Zoa? Talk to me about this.
The Rock's new energy drink. I'm not sponsored by him, so this is not a plug. But it's just a new energy drink. It's got all your healthy vitamins in there. Vitamin B6, B12. It's hydration, no jitters, like a Bang or a Monster. So, you know.
What's the is there a lot of sugar in it?
No, not at all.
Has it got a shitload of caffeine in it, though?
No, it's got 160 milligrams of caffeine.
Oh, I might have to look for this Zoe.
They sell it at GNC and Vitamin Shop, but yeah.
Do I look like I've ever been to either of those stores?
They sell on Amazon.
Ah, there we go. Does it? Let me ask you guys. You follow The Rock on the Instagram? He takes a lot of fucking pictures of his feet. It's fucking weird. His feet are always in the picture when he's watching TV and he's drinking his tequila. Always.
There was a picture like that today of him watching the Roddy Piper documentary last night.
His feet always in the picture.
Are they nice feet?
I mean, I'm not in a position to say because I got the walnut toe and I got like... I've been a fucking working in a restaurant for 20 years. My feet are mangled, so I don't know. Yes? Girls, ladies, talk to me about The Rock's feet. Chat it up on the Facebook. Let me know. Does The Rock have sexy feet? Why?
Why are we talking about The Rock's feet, for God's sakes? Red, you got nice looking feet?
Let's see your feet, bro.
So we're gonna get the conversation from The Rock's feet to Red's feet. That's the natural progression of conversation here.
Basketball and football and then wrestling takes a toll on your feet after a while.
See? So he doesn't have nice feet either. It's okay. It's okay to have not nice feet, but maybe we're going to unlock, like, he gets an OnlyFans and he shows his feet and people pay money for it.
It's crazy that people do that. It's wild.
That's fair.
Right? It's wild. Wild times. Red, anything else you want to leave us with before we let you continue on your Monday night? And what's the weather like in Texas? This is a weird question, but I'm always interested.
It's about 90 degrees. We're about to hit 100 this week. So
fuck,
we're about to hit
Dad. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Fucking 90 degrees.
We had two snowstorms in 2 months, and I've seen enough snow for the rest of my life.
Come to New Jersey, buddy. I want to
see snow again.
Let me just stop you right there. I know what Texas got, and I know that they were poorly equipped to handle it.
They were.
But those 100%. Were not storms. Those were not storms.
Like, I was shopping. I was grocery shopping for my meal prep when our governor said, we are in a state of emergency, and it was like a herd of people, like a zombie apocalypse of people came into the store and cleared the whole store out. And I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yep. Dude, that's New Jersey every other weekend in the snow. Like, every time there's a threat of anything, people just go, and it's ridiculous. It's insane.
But, 100%. We were out of toilet paper for a while again. I don't know why, out of all the snowstorm. You know, I understand we couldn't drive anywhere, but where I'm from in San Antonio, everything was kind of open. You know, we have a store called HEB that was open. But when, you know, we're in Austin or, you know, Dallas, a lot of people were like, I don't know, we're all closed. We don't have any power, but we're all closed.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. The power outages is what you had to worry about. It wasn't the amount of snow, you know, the capability of getting places and doing things.
Yeah, the power would come on for like maybe an hour, 2 hours tops, and then you'd be out of it for like another 8 to 10.
Yes. I don't understand the toilet paper thing. Are people afraid they're going to like shit their pants all day? I don't know.
I didn't understand that either. It's like, why?
I don't know. You take a shit, there's no toilet paper, you just take a shower.
Yeah. There's a couple ditches. I don't know. Whatever people want to do. It's like, are there towels? I mean, people have towels. I don't know.
Yeah, you got towels. Clean it up. Fucking weirdos. Well, Red, it's been an absolute pleasure. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I hope we conveyed the Red Davis brand properly at @Red_Davis_ on Twitter. Give him a follow. As the world starts to open up, you will hear this man's name talked about, and you can proudly tell your friends that you heard it here first on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. And you follow Red right at the beginning. You're with him since day one, and then you'd be doing that day one-ish or something. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying anymore.
Yeah, if anybody's with me from day one, I guarantee you, I will not let you down. And anybody that steps into the ring with Red Davis is going to be a victim. And people have probably heard this quote before, but victims aren't we all.
Red, thank you so much. It was an absolute pleasure. We will talk again soon. When the world starts to open up and you start to get out there again, we'd love to have you back on.
Yeah, I'd love to be on. Thank you guys for this opportunity. It was nice talking to all you guys. Awesome. You guys are awesome. Funny as hell. Great podcast. So thank you guys again. You guys rock.
Red, thank you so much. Red Davis, again, at Red_Davis_ on the Twitter machine. Make sure you're following him. Keep tabs on him. He's going to blow up in 2021 once the world starts to open up. Red, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your night, friend.
Thanks, guys. Y'all too.
Thanks, Red.
All right, Red Davis.
Red Davis.
Yeah. Dude, he's got – you could just tell just in this, like weird Zoom setting, he's got a good look. He's got the personality. He's got – He said all the right things in terms of what he learned and what he wants to do and what he doesn't want to do. It's only a matter of time before we see this guy on Dark or Elevation, I feel like.
I agree 100%. I'm excited to see when the world opens up and he starts going again, what he can do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. You want to talk more about the Repo Man? Because I could argue about the Repo Man all night.
What do you want? Dude, don't threaten me with a good time.
We got so much to cover. We're going to come back. We're going to take a little break ski. I got to pee. I got to get another tea. We're going to talk Impact, Rebellion. I may have joined Kevin's side of a certain conversation that we've been having back and forth for the last couple months. We're going to go over picks. I ate a whole dick sandwich this last night. Like a whole, yeah. Like not even like a little, like a foot yeah. long, a special. I ate hard.
You got extra meat on that sandwich.
Oh, did I ever? Holy shit. We got new champions. We got debuts. We got returns. We got fucking new champions in New Japan. We got Booger Eater getting his ass beat on NWA. Fucking jerk off King Mo is on MLW. Maybe turn that shit off. We could talk some AEW. We could do that all more.
That and more.
I'm having a stroke. Don't shake your head at me, Tony. Tony wants to go to the Thunderdome.
Guys, we're coming back right after this.
We know you love shopping at Amazon, and we also know you love listening to The Shining Wizards. That's why you're hearing this commercial right now. But were you aware that you could combine the two, do all your shopping, and support the show at the same time? Well, of course you can. Instead of going to Amazon.com, go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and make your purchases the way you normally would. You're going to get the same great low prices, and a portion of whatever you purchase is going to go to support the Shining Wizards. How great is that? You, by purchasing anything that you normally would anyway, is going to support us. That's a win-win in my book. So from now on, when you shop at Amazon, go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com or click the banner on our website and do all of your shopping with the Shining Wizards.
Because of the obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens, and because of the crisis which is even now developing, this radio station will remain on the air day and night. This station and hundreds of other radio and TV stations throughout this part of the country are pooling their resources through an emergency network hookup to keep you informed of all developments.
Horns up, everyone. When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure every Friday to check out Radioactive Metal. Radioactive Metal is one of the longest running podcasts on the interweb. And every week we bring you a fist full of metal, including interviews with all your favorite artists, discuss all the metal news, and feature the best tunes on the air today. So grab a Lemmy, join your cool Uncle Snowy, and co-host Aaron in the pit.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Jury is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
What's up, wrestling fans? You want something awesome? Check out Wrestling Night in Canada here on the Shining Wizards Network. We're three Canadian metalheads uniting for the love of pro wrestling. Every episode, we go over all the latest news and special events with the odd unique interview as well. So grab a cold one and check out Wrestling Night in Canada, eh?
Are you tired of being uninformed? Together, we can change all of that. Experience a podcast like you've never heard before. You'll gain knowledge, have some laughs, because we believe this is the last AEW podcast you'll ever need. Join us every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. on rantemradio.com and Facebook Live. We can also be found on all major podcast forums as part of the Shining Wizards Network. So stop listening to inferior AEW podcasts and bring a new podcast into your life by joining us.
Join the Mark Warner Podcast.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Mark Order Pod, and on Facebook.com/Mark Order Pod. Don't forget to tag us on social media and use hashtag Join the Mark Order, because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. My name is Thomas, and what's your name?
I'm Alan. Yeah. We're brothers.
That's right.
Yeah. Same mother and father.
Right.
We shared a room.
Shared a room. Thought I knew your face.
Yeah, we go way back, mate. Yeah.
We should do a podcast then.
We have.
We do a podcast.
We do a podcast.
What's it called?
The
Brocast.
Yeah, that was planned.
Yeah.
What do we do?
Well, we cover all different things in the world of pop culture. We're talking about comic books, we're talking about professional wrestling, and we're talking about movies. Go back and watch classic retro wrestling events, the likes of WWE, WCW, and if you do like that, you can check us out on Apple iTunes, also on Podbean, Anchor, and on Podknife. Also, check us out on Twitter, at The Brocast. That's B-R-O-K-A-S-T.
Hey, it's all right. Good on you.
Yeah. Instagram, also at The Brocast Podcast.
Yeah, but we don't spell it with a C. You spell it with a K.
Sorry, mate.
Take it easy.
We're back, okay? Well, they called in the
natural. We're going to take this time to thank those that support us over at our Patreon. Patreon.com/Wizards Podcast. For as little as $1 a month, you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. My opinion, if it matters to you at all, $3 a month is the best value. Not only do you get mentioned every week on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, on shows that feature guests like Dave LaGreca, Thunder Rosa, Henry Godwin, Josh Woods, Hot Sauce Tracy Williams, Michael Bennett, Tombstone Jesus, and Red Davis, you also get three bonus shows a month. A watch-along, which Tony did to the Arkansas Hogpen match. You get a bonus profile episode, which we did for Zack Ryder. And you get a bonus pay-per-view show where we break down pay-per-view, and this month's pay-per-view was TNA Final Resolution 2009. For $3 a month, you get all that. It's probably like 4 hours worth of bonus content, and we are happy to provide that for you. So if you like what you're listening to, go over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast and support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We're going to thank those that support us right now. We're going to start with Roll, R-O-L, my man Roll. Don't know who you are, don't know where you are, but I appreciate your support. All three of us do. Brendan Haney, Brendan said I said his name right, and he had the Gummy Bears theme song stuck in his head last week, so we're doing something right.
That's right.
Carrie Cowling, she's world-traveled, meeting up with the Mott Spock at wrestling shows in Milwaukee, which is awesome. Mott Spock, also supporter of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. The Bergman, the LeBron James of Mattel Elite Figure Collecting. And he just picked up the latest Danhausen shirt. Too hot, too spicy, too evil. I don't know. He's rocking it because he saw me wearing it.
Danhausen got retweeted by The Rock for promoting that energy drink.
The Rock. You saw it. The Rockhausen.
Yeah, when he made the video and all of a sudden he was dressed like The Rock. Like that picture from the 90s.
Nice. With the chain and the fanny pack?
Yep.
Matthew Birch, the True Prince of Pro, he was in the Facebook chat before chatting it up. David Henry Bauer III, his pal Antonio Hosserman, makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Michael Hammond, Jay Cop, the big cop of punk from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Kenny Hawsey, the Scotch Drinkmore, our Yoshi expert in the old Shining Wizards Discord. Mark Parloni, Mark, happy birthday, as always. Christine Friesendorf, Maddie Mellinger, Matt Garifo, no relationship to the K, JG. Catherine Hensler over at OnDeckIC.com. Check her out. She also hosts several other podcasts. Pick a Vinyl, Mark Order Podcast, What's Good with KG. And she's doing something for the draft this Thursday. So I don't know. I don't even know why I said that. Brett Simonello.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Ryan Schlong. Sean Calejo. Sean Toe. Ryan Arthur over at elementary.com, Elementary Brewery in Hackensack. Their brew is everywhere. It was at the local corner store here. It's in West Orange. It's in fucking North Arlington. Check it out. Anthony and Danny Rusinella.
Fucking feet off the freaking screen, Tony.
Anthony and Danny Rusinella, the AOP of the SWP. Manny Crazzo, the king of the Shining Wizards. And, of course, Kathy Hummer, the queen of the Shining Wizards. And this would not be a proper Patreon read if we did not mention, last but certainly not least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, Kevin. I know what you mean.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Kevin.
I got to do something. I got to do a little mea culpa here. And it'll only take 2 seconds. But I just got to... last week was a bad ending of the show for me. So I want to apologize to Kate and Anthony who called in. And I was a complete jerk and weirdo. And I don't even remember it. But I haven't been able to listen back. So I just want to apologize to Anthony and Kate of the Mark Order. That's it. I had to get out of the way. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to live with myself. So there's that.
Well, Kevin, I'm sure they appreciate that. And I'm happy that you can now live with yourself.
Oh, God. It was eating me up inside. I tried to call in on Wednesday, but I don't know if I got through or not.
I didn't see it. I may not have been logged in yet. It shows up at the top. It'll say, do you want to admit Kevin? And if I saw it, I probably would have hit the yes button.
Well, anyway, just wanted to, that was a lot of Jameson, so I apologize.
Well, I wish I had a reason for sucking shit at my picks this week.
Oh, boy. Want to apologize for that?
There's no, the only person I owe an apology to is myself.
And everyone else who has faith in you.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, if you have faith in me, thank you. But I am letting you down now. We're only in April. We still got 8 more months of this shit to go. And I am going to make a triumphant comeback. I am 13 games behind Kevin. 13. Dan Marino, lucky number 13. Kevin is 6 games ahead of Tony. Going into this pay-per-view... I was feeling pretty good about myself. I thought I could make up a couple picks here. Not so much, and we'll get into the picks and whatnot. But Kevin, as someone who watches Impact on the regular, I want to hear your thoughts on the pay-per-view.
Absolutely fantastic. I mean, that's no surprise coming from a guy who, when you are invested so much every single week, that opinion is probably going to stay the same unless there's something that like really upsets me. And nothing on this show really upset me. I thought maybe the main event, which was the reason why everyone pretty much watched the show, unification of the Impact And you can say you want to include the TNA championship, that's fine. If you want to go Ultimo Dragon style, Tony, where championships that don't really mean anything are included in terms of a belt collector, that's fine. But it was basically Impact and AEW championships. You know, the match was fine. I enjoyed it. God, this is tough for me to say. There were parts that didn't seem like they clicked well. Kenny Omega and Rich Swann. I don't know if you guys watched it, but it didn't seem like there were certain points where that didn't click well. But other than that, absolutely fantastic show. Every match told a story. And if I in terms of the picks, if there was one that I could have back, listen, I'd pick the Good Brothers all day, every day, and twice on Sunday. I would pick them to beat Finn Juice in this match all the time. But I would love to have the Rachel Ellering versus Fire and Flavor match back, because I really thought in my gut that Ellering and Jordan Grace were going to win that match. So, I mean, Violent by Design, we saw in that 8-man, we saw the return or the debut actually of W Morrissey, which is, you know, Big Kaz, Kaz XL, looks incredible.
If I had known he was joining that team, I would not have picked the Faces.
Yeah, and that's fair. And no one really knew. I felt like people kind of knew that Eric Young was hurt, so that he definitely wasn't going to be involved in the match. So now, say it was somebody else, like would you have?
See, I'm not clear on because I know when Eric Young tore his ACL, he still proceeded to work the rest of the tapings, and I don't know if I didn't know the timeline. I didn't know if those tapings included this show. Or if this show last night started the new set of tapings for Impact.
Good question. I don't know that either. For some reason, as I'm so naive, I still thought that this was live.
See, I don't know. It could have been live too. I don't know. When I saw Big Cass come out, I was like this. I said, "Motherfucker! If I'd known he was going to be in this match, I wouldn't have picked the other team."
Yeah, it's And I was going back and forth on this one too. Like, because, you know, usually when Eric Young beat Eddie Edwards on Impact going like into this match, so normally traditional wrestling is he goes over on the go home, babyface has got to go over on, you know, on the pay-per-view match. But that's, again, always flawed, always, it's never a guarantee. So the fact that W. Morrissey came in was incredible. Matt, do we have the exact results for picks for this match?
So Kevin, you went 6-2. The only two matches you lost were the Good Brothers and Fire and Flava.
Yeah.
Tony went 5-3. He also lost the Good Brothers, Fire and Flava, and he took Matt Cardona.
Yeah, that's the one I would have taken back. I had Myers, and I'm like, you know what? If they want to extend this, they got to give Cardona the win here. But that was a big boffo on my part. We should have took that back.
And then I went 3-5.
Wait, what?
Well, sorry, what?
All right, so you lost Fire and Flava, Good Brothers, Face, 8-Man, and let me see. Not the women's title match.
I lost Cardona.
Oh, Cardona.
And yeah. I lost the Sammy Trey Miguel match.
You picked Sammy?
I did. I thought... First of all, I have a couple issues. I feel like every Sammy Callahan match at the pay-per-view is always like a last man standing death match.
Yeah.
The fucking Kevin, I'm with you. I know a couple weeks ago I was all in on Matt Stryker and D'Lo Brown. Holy shit, are they fucking atrocious.
Yeah. Matt, were you happy to see Mauro Ranallo back?
You know what? I was. He didn't hit me with a Mamma Mia. He was fucking great. He brought a big fight feel to the match. The other thing that Impact needs to work on, the fucking cameras. Who's ever in charge of producing, they got to fucking stop, bro. They were missing shit. They were shooting the fucking ground. They were missing spots. It was not pretty.
And that shouldn't be too hard to do when there's nobody in the building. And it really should only be like three angles, right? I mean, I'm no producer. I'm not going to even claim that I am, but... It shouldn't be that hard when you have no one in the building to be able to, and if you're taping, then to be able to handle it. I mean, if it was live, I honestly don't know if it was live or not. It's really weird to say.
I don't think it was live. I'll tell you what my favorite match. Was. I'll tell you what my favorite match was. It might surprise a lot of people.
Virtuosa
and Tennille Dashwood.
That was a great match.
That was a fantastic match. I don't know shit about this chick that came out afterwards, but the match was awesome.
Wait, who came out afterwards?
Taylor Wilde?
Oh, Taylor Wilde. She's back. She's been. Oh yeah, that was touted that she was going to show up. She's been in TNA before.
Yeah, she was like they said that she was the original. She was the inaugural TNA Women's Tag Champion. Yeah. She's a former Knockouts champion. Yep. I don't know who the fuck she is.
It was actually a pretty big deal.
Didn't she show up on NWA Power a couple weeks ago? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
She's been on Dynamite. She's been on Dark, I think, or some of those shows.
Tony, you're thinking...
Maybe it's NWA. Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, fuck, who sat in on commentary?
But it's a pretty big deal if you're a historian of TNA and Impact.
Was it commentary for the pay-per-view? I thought she came out and she had words with somebody. Maybe it was Camille. Maybe it was Thunder Rosa. I can't remember. It was definitely somebody showing up.
Tony, the Forbidden Door has been open to all of these companies. So it could have been one. It could have been the other. It could have been both.
Tony, we're thinking of Taryn Terrell.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Get out of here, stupid.
The commentary was bit. The commentary during the Sammy Callahan Trey Miguel match may have been the worst commentary. Yes, I burped in the middle of the sentence. May have been the worst commentary I've ever heard. So I started my pay-per-view late. Anthony and Kate were supposed to come over. Anthony got tied up, so Kate came up. We started at like 10 o'clock. So I stayed off the fucking spoilers. I didn't see anything. And we watched this, and I was like, when the fuck they bring out the fucking case, they're like, this keeps technology safe. These cases are so thick, and they open it and there's like a fucking wrench and a chain in it. Yeah. And they were like, this is the most brutal thing we've ever seen. I'm like, no, this is, you guys are sucking shit right now.
I don't hate D'Lo as much as I hate Stryker, but D'Lo is, I never thought I'd ever. And I'm a Josh Matthews fan from like Tough Enough and all that stuff and his time in WWE. I never thought that I'd miss Josh Matthews. I knew from day one that I'd miss Madison Rayne just because she was really good. But God, this is just, it's just not good. Matt Stryker, listen, I know you know way more about wrestling in one finger than I know in my entire body. Shut the fuck up.
What is his catchphrase, Kev? Up.
Our sport. He's done more for our sport. Our sport. I'm Mark Van down by the river.
Kate could not stop pointing that out every time he said our sport. Thanks to you, Kev, because it really, it was a crawl on her side too. She was not happy. The commentary was atrocious.
It's bad. It shouldn't take away from what the actual action is for the show, but it does. It so freaking does. Just shut the fuck up. Like, stop, like, for a second, Matt Stryker, stop quoting Aristophanes or fucking Buddha or fucking the Greek gods of such and such say this and I say that. No, shut the fuck up. It's a fucking headlock, you idiot.
Can I tell you what I hated?
Okay.
I hated that Fire and Flava lost the tag titles. I also think Rachel Ellering is shaped like a box.
All right, well, that notwithstanding, I think that I really wanted Jordynne Grace and Rachel Ellering to win this match, and I thought, but I was like, you can't do that to the hottest like act that you have right now.
It's Impact.
But if you go back to the story of how, you know, Jordynne Grace tried so many times with Jazz to win the belts. They didn't. Jazz retires. Rachel Ellering shows up. It's a perfect story for them to win the belts. And it's something that which I'm very happy they did. And they look like a tag team. They look like, you know how much I love Fire and Flava and how much I love Nevaeh and Havoc. Nevaeh's gone now. Like, now you have this badass Ellering, Jordynne Grace team that's like who's going to beat them? Like maybe Fire and Flava again, but who's gonna beat those two?
The Iconics.
Did you see? Speaking of that, the promo that they ran for Slammiversary, I did not put two and two together at all until I read, like, you know, the headline, TNA or Impact Slammiversary preview teasing teasing release talents.
So they,
like, wait a second, I saw this promo.
Yeah, they made a ton of announcements during this promo. They announced that their next Impact Plus special would be called Under Siege on May 15th. June 12th, they're bringing back Against All Odds, which will be Kevin's birthday is a Saturday this year. It will be a Impact Plus special, and then Slammiversary will be July. Where is 18th? It here?
Is that us?
It's returning in July. They didn't give a date. I'm sorry. But during the teaser video, they showed Samoa Joe, Chelsea Green, Mickie James, Okada, Naito, Great Muta, and they showed Australian and Mexican flags, which led people to think the Iconics and Andrade.
Dude, I did not put any of that together. Like, I felt it, like, looking back, like, I was like, all right, they're showing a history of Slammiversary. Then I'm like, wait a second. They included Samoa Joe. Like, why would Chelsea Green be in that promo? Yeah, she was great, but is that something that you've ever built your brand around? And I couldn't tell. Like, yeah, it was Okada and Naito. Dude, is that possible? Do you think that's going to happen, or is that just them clickbaiting us?
If you remember what they did last year, Slammiversary, who returned? Eric Young, the Good Brothers, EC3, and then that Tuesday right after, Brian Myers made his debut. So, like, the timing. I think the money, hear me out, guys, Samoa Joe comes back to Impact and he challenges Kenny Omega, and that's your Slammiversary main event, and Kenny Omega loses the Impact title to Samoa Joe.
But what about, that's awesome. That'd be insane. And Tony, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. What about, like, the teasing of Okada Naito?
Yeah, I don't know what any of that means.
If you're going to tease Samoa Joe and Chelsea Green and you're teasing them as well, like, could that, like, you're just saying that's like, Tony, would you think that's more, let's get some eyes, or do you think there's any possibility that's going to happen?
Kev, the barn door is open.
The barn door is open. The hatch, if you will. The forbidden hatch is open.
The forbidden hatch may be open sooner than later. I don't know. It's such an exciting time. Here's my one problem with Impact, though. Watching that pay-per-view last night, and obviously we saw a bunch of new champions. Josh Alexander, the X-Division champion. Yes. Awesome match between him and TJP and Ace Austin. We have the new Women's Tag Team Champions, as Kevin mentioned. And Kenny Omega walked out as the Impact World Champion. I just don't see... Like, I think we were on the same page with Rich Swann. Like... do we buy him as the Impact World Champion? Not really. We think Moose was maybe suited better for that role. But now, like, you look at the roster and they have a fucking amazing roster. But who's going to beat fucking Kenny Omega for that title?
It's to your point.
You can either make a star.
I can make a case for Moose. I'm sorry, Tony. What?
That was me.
Oh, sorry, Matt. I can make a case for Moose.
Yes. In my opinion, your options are Moose or returning Samoa Joe. Again, super talented roster, but nobody on that roster, like, pops off unless, like, something happens with, like Big Cass, like, where they turn him face and he's like, he looked fucking like $1 million last night, but.
Well, no one really knows what he is because he, like, if you remember, like, at the end of the match, Violent by Design was all the way on the ramp and he was in the ring by himself.
Yeah, he was so hired.
Is he technically in Violent by Design or not? If he's not, I would love to see him and Joe Doring go to head-to-head.
You know what? I would like to see a lot more Joe Doring solo.
I agree with you. And that's why I was a little... That's why I don't think Cass... unless Cat or Morrissey joins and Doring's out, like, you can't have two. You can't have those two guys on the same squad, can you?
I mean, you can't. You can if it plays in a storyline like Eric Young is hurt, so he obviously can't wrestle for X amount of months. So you bring them in, and then maybe they have a power struggle at the top. And then when Eric Young returns,
doesn't talk.
No, he doesn't, and he always looks like he smells like he always looks like he's smelling like a plate of shit.
A Chili's bathroom.
And here's super super. Dark horse for someone to beat Kenny Omega, Jake something. That'd be like a if you want to make like a real superstar and really like have like a bust out guy, but that's he's down the pecking order.
Yeah, and it's tough. It's tough to build an impact, I guess, if that makes any sense. Just because like he would have to do it on like AEW for you to like, even though I think they did like a million buys, if I'm not mistaken. I thought I read that somewhere that this pay-per-view did a million buys.
I haven't seen anything yet, but that's, I mean, I'd love to see the buys when it comes out.
Which absolutely makes no sense to me, right, Tony? That makes absolutely no sense. Maybe 100,000 buys, maybe.
Did WrestleMania?
No, because the Revolution did like 150,000 buys.
Yeah. Dummy. Dumbest thing I've ever said in my life. I thought I saw it. That's the only reason why I mentioned it.
I like the main event. I like that there were everyone was at ringside and there was no interference.
Yeah. And what made me really nervous is when they announced the two referees.
The double refs.
I was like, what the fuck? And then like they were both in the ring to start the match. I'm like, they're not going to be in the fucking ring, are they? And then, of course, when Aubrey Edwards took the chair out of Kenny Omega's hands, she showed that she was definitely playing it down the middle. And I'm not going to say anything bad about the match. I thought it was a little clunky at points, but what the fuck do I know? You know what I mean?
So, well, there were those two top rope spots where Kenny Omega almost died twice.
Yeah. And Rich Swann was like on his shoulder and like.
Yeah, I don't know what they were trying to do, but it didn't look great. But overall, I really enjoyed the pay-per-view. Again, I thought the commentary was atrocious and production with like. If you're standing near Don Callis and he's going to jump in the fucking ring, like, you got to move. You can't have him jump in front of the goddamn camera and just have a black screen. I didn't pay fucking $40 to see fucking the fibers on Don Callis's suit jacket or the fucking floor for that matter, or for you to have the camera on fucking TJP when there's a spot going on in the ring. And it was like, it wasn't like a one-time thing. It was like every fucking match all night, they were missing shit.
I don't know. I don't know what to say to that. I mean, I'm not.
Real crow on your side, isn't it?
It was frustrating.
The little spoon in your porridge.
But Impact is now Thursday nights. Kenny Omega's the Impact World Champion. He's got the TNA.
I don't think we gave the actual match between my two dear good friends, Matt Cardona and Brian Myers, enough credit. I think that match was really good.
How did you pick that match?
Oh, Cardona's a baby face. You got to root for the good guys, right? Don't you?
Yeah, but you didn't pick Cardona. You picked Brian Myers.
Oh, because I'm a smart guy. Brian Myers is under contract. Cardona's not. They're building Brian Myers. Myers is going to be. I wouldn't leave him out of the conversation.
I want to see text messages. I want to see Facebook Messenger. Kevin. You collusion, Tony. I'm calling collusion now. He had the inside track on the Brian Myers match.
No, he didn't.
Kevin reached out. He said, "Bro, I'll put over whatever you want. I'll wear all my
Mark Order podcast merch.
I'll wear all the major pods. I'll sign up to the highest tier of Patreon. Just tell me. Who wins? Do you win or does Matt win? What's the story here?
It just makes sense. First of all, he's a Scott D'Amore guy.
Who is?
He's a Tommy Dreamer guy. And so is Cardona, but Cardona's not under contract. Brian is. So, and Brian, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't cut him out of the loop of being in your main events soon because they're clearly building him and building him the right way. So, would I be shocked if I see Kenny Omega, Brian Myers on Impact or AEW in 6 months? No. Tomorrow, yes. But I'm telling you, they got plans for him.
Interesting. I liked how the Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona, his injury, he made that look really good.
Yeah, that's what you had to do in that kind of situation because it played on the friendship. It played on like what they've been through where, all right, well, you know, help you up. Nope.
No.
Sorry.
Kevin, let me ask you. What the fuck was he wearing to the ring, Matt Cardona? Was that like the Nasty Boys in the Legion of Doom had a retarded baby and he decided to wear it to the ring?
I'll tell you what I think it was. I think it was definitely Nasty Boys because he loves splatter paint. And I think it was one of those Ninja Turtle movie big bad guys, Tokar, the turtle with the horns. because he's a big turtle guy too. I think that's what it, I don't know. I think that's what it was. I think he had like Tokar and Rezar or whatever the fuck it was, like horns on his shoulders. But listen, he wasn't the only one. So, didn't somebody else? Didn't like Trey Miguel have like horns on his fucking denim vest too?
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure.
It was. I just found a little news. Kenny Omega will be wrestling at Impact's Under Siege on May 15th. So, doesn't say against who, but he will be wrestling on May 15th. So, be sure to tune in there.
I don't know. Just throw that out there.
I think overall Impact, I give it a B+. The commentary really, really aggravated the shit out of me. The matches were good. The Sammy Trey Miguel match wasn't terrible.
It was some rough.
There was some rough spot. I think it would have played. That's a match where I'm like, if there was a crowd here, I think Trey's being the underdog would have played better in front of a live crowd.
It was probably one of the better stories that they've told over the last few months, though. Just that things just didn't work out. Like the table, the table that didn't break. You know, whatever, that happens. It's wrestling. I mean, if you're watching it and believing it, it's real, then real stuff happens.
Still so, real to me, damn it.
That's right. Man, I'm burping.
Oh, good. God bless you, sir. Tony, I know you didn't get to watch Impact because you still have to watch Mortal Kombat.
Tony, what did you think of whatever you watched?
Yeah, let's talk about some NWA because I watched NWA today.
T-Donk?
Okay, let's talk about it.
Let's talk NWA, baby. Book, what's Booger Eater doing?
Booger Eater's on a collision course with Nick Aldis, sir. Are you not following the story?
We are. Is this what we're getting, though, at when our shadows fall on Sunday, June 6th?
I hope so. I hope so, so bad. I want Booger Eater to win the big one. I really do.
He's calling out Chris Adonis. The Nick Aldis is coming out. And then they make this weird, like, pact. Like, I'm going to put on an exhibition tonight because people don't want to see you because you're fucking gross and you eat boogers. So I'm going to put on an exhibition tonight. And as long as you don't come to the ring, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
I don't understand what Nick Aldis was trying to accomplish by this. And of course...
question. For those of us or audience not familiar with the Booger Eater, that is...
That would be Trevor Murdoch.
Okay,
Matt calls him the Booger Eater, so Matt's going to explain that to him.
I call Trevor Murdoch the Booger Eater because he looks like he eats boogers. And I think you made a reference once that some of these kids eat boogers.
Yes.
In a promo.
Maybe he's just digging for gold.
Yeah. And he's eating it, Kevin. It ain't no good if you dig for it and then you eat it.
Of course it is. It's like putting it in the bank.
That's disgusting. No, because then it comes out eventually, no? Or the boogers stick inside of you. Do you not digest your boogers?
Ooh, imagine you got like booger stalagmites and stalactites in your intestines.
Championship gold is what I was calling.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I can't, Tony. I can't buy into this.
I like it a lot. I don't understand what Nick Aldis was trying to accomplish with this whole stay away from the ring thing, but I'm digging it, bro. I'm digging it.
It's very like old school NWA Mid-South. Like, I don't think Trevor Murdoch stands a chance against Nick Aldis.
Yeah, you never know. Never say never. Maybe. Look, Nick Aldis said it 2 weeks ago where nobody's place is safe and strictly business. Maybe Nick Aldis's place isn't safe and strictly business.
But look, with all due respect to Thomas Latimer and Chris Adonis and Camille, you can't have strictly business without Nick Aldis.
Oh, can you?
No, it's like having the Four Horsemen without fucking Ric Flair. It sucks. You can't do it.
Maybe there's no more strictly business. Maybe Chris Adonis and Tom Latimer form their own group.
But yeah. What if it's DX without Shawn Michaels?
There are a few exceptions.
Good point.
Can I get another drink? Do you guys care if I go get another drink?
Yeah, what do you want? Yeah. I'll get it for you.
I got to run down to the fridge.
Go for it.
All right.
So, Tony, you're going to have to fill me in on all things NWA power.
I will tell you this, in the time it takes me to run downstairs, I loved the Slice Boogie promo.
I'm a big Slice Boogie guy. Now, does Trevor Murdoch pick Slice Boogies?
No, he picks like green boogies.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So they're full boogies. He doesn't slice them up first before.
No, he's a whole boogie kind of man.
Oh God, you gotta be. I mean, if you're gonna be a boogie, you gotta be a whole boogie, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Why would you slice it? They're just wasteful.
Well, Kev, no matter how you slice it, Sal Renaro comes out next, and he's supposed to have a match against the NWA Tag Team Champions, Aaron Stevens and Jared Kratos. There's still a little heat between the two of them. So Sal Renaro says he's got himself a partner who's a former NWA champion. Didn't say what championship he was, but of course, Sal Renaro comes out by himself with no partner, and he wrestles. He wrestles a little bit.
Harley Race.
No, he wrestles a little bit with Aaron Stevens on his own. And then Jared Kratos gets the tag in, and Kratos is just brutalizing Sal Renaro.
Kratzo?
So much so that commentary is like, what's going on? They need to stop this. Even Aaron Stevens is like, what are you doing?
What are you going to do?
Eventually, Sal Renaro gets that teammate that he said he had when Tim Storm leaves commentary.
Get out!
To help him out at ringside, and Sal Renaro gets the quick roll-up on Kratos for the pin.
Dude, there's no spot or no like angle I love more that when a wrestler doing commentary gets up from the table and comes in and helps or does something in the ring. That's like one of my favorite things of all time. And the fact that they did that here is ooh.
And it was beautiful.
Chills, buddy.
It's Tim Storm. They're doing something with Sal Renaro. And there's the story about the heat between Stevens and Kratos that's growing. Because Stevens doesn't want to be the bad guy anymore. Stevens is, you know, he wants to be a true wrestler. He wants to be straight and narrow. He wants to be away from the gimmicks. And Kratzo just fucking wants to destroy people. Good thing he can't get his fucking GIF software working to show me and Matt with our shirts off. Ha ha, sucker. Anyway.
Jesus, man.
So
Kratzo's a big boy.
Who, Kratos? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's a big
one. Oh, J.R. Kratzo.
Kratzo.
I like this. I like the spot for Tim Storm.
Me too. It's very interesting stuff. You got the series.
I got to say.
And Sal Renaro, the crazy son of a bitch.
I never expected. We love Tim Storm. I love Tim Storm. I never expected him to go this far and still be around. Like, I just didn't see it coming. When Nick Aldis beat him, right? Nick Aldis is the one that beat him, right, Tony?
Correct.
Yes.
I was like, all right, Tim Storm is, he's kind of going on his way. He's up there in the age group or whatever. But, dude, they're dead set on making him a focal point of the show all the time, and it's awesome.
I love it. He's so great on commentary. He's unbelievable. Him and Joe Galli are amazing together.
And they told a great story with him like getting aggravated during the match. And the story with Aaron Stevens when Kratos is just pounding Sal Renaro in the corner and Stevens like gets annoyed and like breaks him up. Like, it's such a good story. I'm all in on this one. Much more than Booger Eater challenging for the NWA World Championship.
So, Matt, while you were getting a beverage, we asked if I asked Tony if he thought that Trevor Murdoch picked slice boogies.
No, I was here for that.
Oh, okay. All right. Never mind. All right. Good talk.
Tony, thoughts on this Pope Tyrus thing with Austin Idol?
Tyrus has not, he's been in a very low gear in the ring. That being said, these guys fucking cut some great promos. This was fucking awesome. I love this. I don't even care that Austin Idol was there, but Tyrus and the Pope talking man-to-man back and forth. Come on, man. That was some good shit. I love this segment.
Yeah, I've been down on Tyrus and the Austin Idol connection, but this was great. Both guys, as you said, Tony, cut awesome back-and-forth promos, and now I'm kind of in. Pope was like, you need to prove yourself. You need to get in line. You need to start getting W's under your belt before I even consider you as an opponent. And then Tyrus just inserts himself in this three-way dance with Matt Cross and the Rocket.
Marche Rocket.
And fucking Tyrus steals a win.
Played it perfectly. This is where Austin Idol came into play and it actually made sense. He told Tyrus when he got shit canned, stay out, hang out here for a minute. Pick the spot when Matt Cross thought he had the win and steals it. Perfect. Now he's your new number one contender for the TV championship.
Unbelievable.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I like it too. And I like to go back to Slice Boogie. I said before I went to get a drink, I love this promo and I like how he's calling out Jack Stain.
Do you like him flirting with Mae Valentine there a little bit?
I think it works with his gimmick. Like the thing I liked about his promo is it just seems like this is Slice Boogie turned up to 11. Like, this is how Slice Boogie is. So I liked it. I liked it. You know, he's still going to beat your ass, but he's also going to steal your chick, bro.
I don't like the tights yet. I think he needs to change them up a little bit.
He's representing that Queens, bro.
No, I don't mind representing Queens. I don't mind the Mets colors. I just mind that it looks like fucking pull-up pajamas. Like, it doesn't look like tights. It's
I don't
weird.
Know. Well, yeah, I had a problem with fucking Eddie Edwards wearing his pajama jeans last night on the fucking pay-per-view.
They still sell them fucking
things. I don't know. It looks like he's wearing fucking pajamas. Look, just if you're going to wear tights. Don't wear fucking tights that look like jeans. Now you look like you're wearing goddamn pajama jeans, okay?
What do they call them? They used to sell them to the housewives. You've seen
I think they were called fucking pajama jeans.
Is that what they were called?
Yeah.
And you know what? To go back to the Impact pay-per-view, you know what else I had a problem with? And this might be... this is me being a nitpicking son of a bitch. The fucking referee with the fucking arms, the one black arm sleeve. The compression, stop. You're a fucking referee, dickhead. It was super distracting.
It's tough to keep slamming your arm on the mat, dude. These guys suffer injuries.
Fucking yeah, work on it, bro.
Jesus.
It annoyed the shit out of me.
No, but I'm with Matt on the pajama. I mean, for the lack of Orange Cassidy wears them. He doesn't wear real jeans. He wears
pajama jeans. Look, but Eddie Edwards used to wear fucking tights. Like he used to be. Now he wears fucking pajama jeans and he talks to a fucking stick like it's a person. Like he's Wilson from fucking Castaway.
This whole like capri tights and tennis shoes vibe is killing me, man. It's and I guess you have to grow and adapt to what's new in wrestling, but. It's absolutely killing me because he's not the Kofi Kingston wears them, Eddie Edwards wears them, Swerve wore them. Like, come on, that's not wrestling gear, man. You're not going out to like the mall. Like, come on, put some wrestling gear on. But, Eddie Edwards, he kills me with that shit. But I guess we have to adapt and evolve, I guess. All right, go on with your talk, boys.
Adonis and Latimer going after the tag titles. That's what they tell Mae Valentine. Any thoughts on that, T-Dunk?
I don't know. It's weird. It's like a gap filler. I mean, Adonis with another belt. I get that they want to dominate, but whatever.
I actually really like the next match. I love Genocide. I love her look. And her and Camille, I thought had a really good match.
They worked well together. Again, this is where the commentary shines, and this is where you need to pay attention to your commentary team. These guys were telling a great story that Camille never faced anybody her size, like Genocide, somebody that can match her for power. And when Camille first got slammed and she's selling and she's looking around, they made it seem like that much more important. Like Camille's not used to getting slammed. How is she going to react to this? What's going to happen next? Good stuff. Like you said, I think these guys had a great match. The first spear, maybe she sort of was supposed to go for a second spear, but the first one did look a little like off. So I'm sure that kind of played into it where it's like, all right, she weakened her with a half-ass spear, but then nailed her with a good spear. And that was enough to put her away. So I kind of like that. And then what happens? I still don't get this whole Thunder Rosa, Melina, everybody getting involved kind of thing. Like, what's happening here?
I don't know. We have to see how this plays out. I think there's a double cross somewhere in there.
So, like, Melina gets in the ring and starts messing with Camille, and then, of course, she eats a spear. Then Camille. Thunder Rosa comes out, and stupid-ass fucking Velvet Sky is like, oh, she's defending Melina. And Tim Storm or Joe Galli, one of them is like, no, she's not. She's just coming out here getting in Camille's face because Camille's a bitch. You know, that's my words, not theirs.
No, I hear you. There's a lot. This is a weird story, but we're going to have to see this play out. And don't forget, our women's champ is sidelined. Serena Deeb should start to emerge, hopefully, before this pay-per-view, right?
Kind of hoping so. It's just weird that your champion is, one, signed to another company, and two, not around because she's injured.
Yeah.
Matt.
Yo.
I've seen Nick Aldis and Jordan Clearwater wrestle before. And knowing that there wasn't much time left in the episode, I kind of had a feeling something was going to happen, especially with Trevor Murdoch.
Please refer to him as Booger Eater. If you're not comfortable saying Booger Eater, just call him B.E.
B.E.?
Yeah, B.E., no. Booger Eater.
So, so Nick Aldis is supposed to have an exhibition match against Jordan Clearwater, who's very talented, by the way. I see big things for him.
B.E. Eater. All right.
So Nick Aldis is getting ready to wrestle Jordan Clearwater. The bell rings. They lock up. And all of a sudden, Trevor Murdoch, Chris Adonis, Tom Latimer all come through the curtain and start fighting with each other. And it winds up with the match getting thrown out and Murdoch laying face down in the ring and everybody's standing tall over him. I don't know. Why did they beat up Trevor Murdoch? I don't know. The guy's just trying to stand up for himself and stand up for his family. What's going on here?
You know what? That's what happens, all right? You run your fucking gums and you get put into your place, right? First of all, he's got shit for brains, all right? He got beat up by Chris Adonis. He had to be a fucking... It's 2021, all right? You don't have to be a fucking tough guy, all right? Oh, yeah. You were hurt. You know what you should have done. You should have taken the week off. You should have rested. You could have fucked on home, slept next to your championship, recouped, and then defended your title. But no, he had to be a booger-eating fucking redneck, and he had to go and he had to try and defend the title. He got smushed. Now he's mad because he made a bad decision, and somehow this is Nick Aldis and Chris Adonis' fault. Shenanigans.
Yeah.
All right, booger-eater.
He didn't say it was anybody's fault. I just don't know why Nick Aldis is talking so much shit to him. Nick Aldis is asking to fucking lose his title. He's asking for Trevor Murdoch to beat him for the championship.
Tony, if Trevor Murdoch beats Nick Aldis, I'll never watch the NWA again.
Who's that fair to? Like, are you punishing the NWA because you're not going to watch
them? Yeah, I won't give them my hard-earned money because Trevor Murdoch is not fucking NWA World Championship material. He's a booger-eating redneck who's just lucky enough that he gets to lace up his boots and get in the ring with greatness that is Nick Aldis of Strictly Business.
I don't know, man. Trevor Murdoch kind of reminds me of a spry Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, How dare you?
So, Matt, if Trevor Murdoch, a great character, weird, different look, if he's not world championship material in NWA, who is?
You know what, Kevin? That's a great question. And it's almost the same boat as Impact. I don't know.
I think Trevor Murdoch would be a great world champion.
I think you're both drunk.
No.
Do you want a world championship covered in boogers? Fucking buffalo wing sauce? Because all he does is he looks like he eats buffalo wings and he picks his nose.
Did you want a broken skull belt? Did you want a spinner belt? Maybe it's time for a booger belt.
No.
Fucking A, dude, a booger belt.
Maybe it's time.
How dare you? How dare you? Put that out into the universe, a booger belt.
Did I say broken skull belt, by the way?
You did.
Skull.
Smoking skull, I think you meant.
Smoking skull belt.
There you go.
Booger belt. Call it. Let's do it, Tony. Tony, start a petition.
Booger belt. Look, I get the story. I like the story. But if Nick Aldis is head and shoulders, okay? He's head and shoulders above Trevor Murdoch.
He's got to lose sometime.
Yeah, but not the fucking Trevor Murdoch.
Why not?
Because he eats his boogers. That's why, Kevin. Like, they're fucking Cheetos. He eats them all day.
Oh, wow. He's got a lot of boogers, then. It's like 3 bags of Cheetos a day.
Do you guys think we see Mickie James join Nick Aldis?
I don't see why not at all.
Do we have a storyline built in where we have dissension between Camille and Mickie James? Maybe they have a program together.
Yes.
Sign me up. But you got to go where the money is. If Impact offers, I'm going into way deeper, but yes, sign me up for that 100%.
I mean, Camille is still pretty green. She could learn a lot from working a program with Mickie James.
Yeah. The opportunity to work with her husband, NWA, if they give her decent money. Yeah. 100%. Sign me up wherever Mickie James wants to go. Sign me up for any of that.
I'm down for the roast beef sandwich.
Word to that, brother. And her country music is pretty good.
Hardcore country, baby.
She does a podcast, apparently.
Yeah. Grown-ass woman, motherfuckers. Yeah. I don't know.
So that was the NWA. So now, Tony, let's. When our shadows fall, are you? What are these names?
Listen, WPC is a very talented, creative, somewhat guy. So it is what it is, bro. Just watch the show.
I'm looking forward to it. June 6th.
Wait, Shadows Fall is the name of the show or name of a tag team?
When Our Shadows Fall is the name of the next pay-per-view.
When Our Shadows Fall. Oh, When Our Shadows Fall.
Yes, it also sounds like a metal song, metal band, emo song, whatever.
I like it.
Well, it's taking place June 6th, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
I love it. You know what it is? I'll tell you why. Because When Our Shadows Fall means we're no longer going to be in anyone's shadow because our shadows are falling. And now we're going to be, we're NWA, baby. Where our shadows are falling. Oh, I love it. It makes no sense, but I love it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And if anyone new introduces themselves into the NWA.
It's got to be. All right. So we talk about, I don't think we have, but the roster cuts at WWE made, if you can picture anyone there, who would it be?
Tucker.
Yes.
And Bo 100%. Dallas.
Both. 100%. 100%. T-Donk?
I'm thinking just Mickey James. I mean, I don't know. Tucker, Bo Dallas. Probably Bo Dallas more.
Dude, I think Tucker...
I'd agree with Bo Dallas. I'm not sure about Tucker.
Dude, I thought Tucker was going to have... Once he got away from Otis far enough, I thought he was going to like bounce back in WWE like nobody's business.
Really?
And, dude, he's Tucker has, if you can get him away from that stupid name, first of all, if you can just stop calling him Tucky or Tucker and repackage him, give him enough time off, then yes, Tucker, I thought, could have been a big time guy in 2022. 100% a big time guy in 2021, 2022.
I don't know. That's a hard pass for me.
Well, because you're conditioned to know him for what he was.
No, sir, I don't.
He was the sidekick. That's all he ever was. That's all they ever saw him as, except for in NXT. Dude, the guy was like training people. They brought him over to the Greatest Royal Rumble or whatever that Saudi show was. They brought him over. He's a big guy, long hair, beard. He's good. Listen, first of all, he'll be back, by the way.
Okay.
Not anytime soon, but he'll be back.
Right. Back in the WWE?
Oh, yeah. If he doesn't pick up somewhere else, and he will.
You know who shouldn't be back?
He's young
enough. In a wrestling ring?
Oh!
Fucking King Mo. And fucking Dan Lambert. Bro, they're still going with this fucking low-key bullshit.
I know. King Mo is pretty terrible.
Are you fucking...
This fucking martyr kid, like, I love the name, and have we seen him before? But this was fucking dog shit, dude.
The match was the drizzling shits because it was a squash match, and that's what it's supposed to be. The post match.
No. It wasn't the drizzling shits because it was a squash match. It was just fucking horrid.
Yes. And then the post match bullshit with Dan Lambert, and they're still calling out Loki. Are you fucking kidding me? Are we really going to try and run a 2-year program with fucking Loki and King Mo? Are you fucking serious?
The only thing I have to say about that is they need a rubber match. And that's what they're going to go.
Oh my God. Is it going to go more than fucking 2 minutes? Are you fucking serious?
Maybe it doesn't this time. I'm hopeful. I don't have high hopes, but I'm hoping, number one, low-key at least get something like decent out of him, and two, that this is finally it when it happens.
If there's a third match, I'm going to light my pubes on fire.
No, you're not. Oh, no, I'm going to stop watching NWA.
100%. I will light my pubes on fire if fucking I have to sit through another King Mo low-key match.
Please film that as a Patreon exclusive. Please.
How do I cover my schwans?
You don't. Just fucking let it hang, bro. If you have no problem lighting your pubes on fire, you ain't got no worries about showing.
Maybe I'll do like Chili Pepper style, put a sock on it.
Leave it exposed, because to put the fire out, you could just fucking flap it up and down.
Now, what if it burns it, man?
No, you give yourself like a little like a wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Because I'm not using the Manscaped anymore because they ain't paying me, so I don't give a fuck. This shit looks like the jungle.
Yeah, fuck that.
Oh, I use Manscaped. Oh.
Hey, when you take your pants down to fucking light them on fire, can you play Tarzan Boy? Because it's like the jungle.
Yes, absolutely.
You gotta ask TK for the rights to that one.
No, I don't.
Anyway, can we talk MLW, please? I want to get through this.
Rocky Romero beats Gino Medina. I like this match. Gino Medina's on a losing streak, though.
I know, and they made sure to mention that to get that across on commentary. Like the commentary team on this show, too, by the way. Like it a lot.
If Alicia, too, comes out with a, hey, that's a hammer dick t-shirt, I'm buying it 100%.
I know. What'd you think of that? That was kind of weird, no?
It was weird. Thing with it. It was weird, but it was funny because there's that weird synergy between Alicia and Richard Holiday, and he's got like this great idea for this theme park, and he doesn't see the fact that he made his penis a giant hammer, but she's looking at his penis and she knows that shit's a hammer.
What do you think of this turn in her character? Like you said, it started with Holiday, but it seems to be like when she talks to Selena, she gets pissed off at her. When she talks to Holiday, she gives him shit. Well, now she's talking to Hammerstone, talking about his schwans. Like, Alicia Toot's kind of like getting a little more assertive.
Sassy. Yeah, yeah, of course. You got to look, it's the wrestling business. You got to have a little fire in your belly. You can't just let everybody walk all over you.
And I mean, she's not turning into Sheeta by any means, but she getting a little thirsty there on the social media, posting these pics of herself laying around and stuff.
Well, she ain't stupid. I mean, that's how you get the likes and the follows, bro.
Fair enough. Girl power.
That's Trey Miguel's. Anyway, that's Trey Miguel's girl.
Matt. Your yes. favorite tag team trios comes up next with another Spanish interview. What do you think of LA Park and Los Park?
They fucking suck. They suck a fucking taco filled with fucking duck cum. All right, get out of here.
Oh
you
my
suck.
God.
What? I don't so, even know. Can a duck cum?
If you call it nicely.
I don't know. They're mad at fucking Selena De La Renta now, but
yeah,
then
Selena's in some trouble with El Jefe, huh?
Yeah, she's like very like submissive now to fucking she's like, okay, whatever you need, whatever you want, I'll do my best. She like looks very distraught. She's not very good at acting like she's like being yelled at. Fuck yeah, the fucking Parks. They suck.
He's very good at doing the yelling, and 100% the Parks suck. I wish they would take the tag belts off of them. Putting it on them to begin with was a fucking terrible idea, and their matches have just been god-awful. God-awful. Dude, LA Park had a great match against Fatu for the championship.
Right. And Selena year. Got speared through the table.
It was a fucking great match. Now with the kids, ugh, it's all fucking just gimmick nonsense.
Can I tell you who I have zero interest in whatsoever?
Tony, is there a top 10 this week?
There is.
Okay, you didn't, Kev, don't put the cart before the horse, Kev. We're getting there. I got you in mind, son. Don't worry about
okay,
it.
Okay, sorry.
No, we're good. Sorry. Who can't sorry, you? Sorry, let sorry, me sorry. Guess. You can't stand Lio Rush.
I don't get it.
He's just trying to be cocky.
No, like, I get it. Like, but I'm just like, I think it's like, it's because he's everywhere. He's on New Japan Strong. He's on MLW. He's on GCW. Like, he's literally every fucking promotion. And I'm not taking away from his talent. He's very talented. I'm just like, enough. I don't. Like, I hope Myron Reed takes the title from him.
Wait. So you don't mind that Kenny Omega's working all these promotions? You don't mind that Good Brothers are working all these promotions? You don't mind that fucking Moxley's showing up at all these other promotions? But fucking Lio Rush bothers you?
Yeah, like, I don't know. There's something about him. I find him very fucking annoying.
I know why. I'm not going to say it.
No. Don't even try it. Don't even try it. All right? It's not his rapping. I just don't like him. All right? I like some Tribe Called Quest. I like some Biggie. I don't like Lio Rush.
R.I.P. Shock G, by the way. Digital Underground.
Yeah, with the fake nose. Yeah. He'll tickle your rear.
Rear. By the way, I'm sure I've told this story before. I did not know that Shock G was Humpty Hump forever. I only found that shit out in the past couple of years. I had no idea it was the same fucking person. You ever see Nothing But Trouble?
Absolutely. Yes.
They were there side by side. How would you think that it was the same person?
Movie magic, same bro.
Same songs on that soundtrack.
That's right. Good pull, Kev.
I know what he's doing.
Good God.
All right.
Anyway.
Do you want to talk?
I agree. I think Myron Reed is going to fucking take the title back from him. The young goat. I wonder if anything's going to happen, though, with the future of Injustice. You think Injustice is going to wind up staying together, or it's time to break these guys off?
I don't know. They can stay together. I mean, the Dynasty stayed together. It's just Hammerstone and Holiday, and they're never really doing anything together.
No, I mean, this is true. So we talked about King Mo.
Yeah, and I'm done with the fucking Tom Lawler against the Von Erichs bullshit, too.
Well, we got Marshall versus Tom coming up soon, don't we?
Oh, my God. I thought we were done with this.
And isn't Dickinson fighting Lawler at some point in New Japan?
Dickinson, they're in the same stable in New Japan, but he confronted him after he beat Brody King to win the New Japan Strong Championship Friday night.
Yahtzee.
Oh, congratulations to Dickinson. That's awesome.
Kurt Bauer reveals that they're going to be on Vice, and then it came out today. It's going to be 12 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday, their debut episode.
That's kind of a cool time slot. That's an homage to, Saturday wrestling.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like the early afternoon.
I just wish most of us would be around on a Saturday afternoon to watch the fucking thing.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Buku Dao beat TJP.
Great match. I liked it a lot. You didn't like it?
It was. I didn't watch it. I told you. I turned it off after fucking I saw King Mo on my TV and the shitty promo. And then I had some other stuff going on. I had to walk away. And by the time I came back, the episode was done.
Myron Reed, by the way, said he is training. He's got his rematch on May 5th, which is next week.
Yes.
Good on him. He said he's been training with Tankman at Tankman's gym. So we still got a little bit of the Injustice Calvin Tankman grouping going on here. That's some good shit.
What'd you think of the Hammerstone press conference?
Yeah, we're getting there. Because Buku Dao had a great match. Actually won. The student beats the teacher. And then Hammerstone for 30 seconds at the end of the show said he's coming for Fatu.
Do you think that's the match they give us in Philadelphia when they do their first live show on July 10th?
Are they filming a super show at that, or do you think they're going to hold that for a pay-per-view?
I think it's going to be a super show. It's the first time you've had fans in over a year. You're going to be in Philadelphia. I think they go all out. You have to go all out, right? This is the match you've been building to for the last year and change.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. That makes sense.
We've been talking about it for 6 months alone on the show.
I'm so sick of Contra. I'm just so sick of Contra. Dude.
Yeah.
Fatu needs to break out on his own and just be a fucking star.
They need the world to open up. Because I know they have a deal with Dragon Gate. They need this pandemic to let the world open up again, because a lot of these storylines are getting real stale in MLW, at least for me.
Yeah, but you know what? This week was a lot better than the weeks that we've had in the recent past. I really liked the show this week.
And I'm excited for them going to Vice, too. I think that's a great move.
It's about time, because Kurt Bauer kind of finds himself in a spot where every week he's making a big announcement, but then it's MLW's on in Poland. Well, great for Poland, but, you know... Yeah. What is it for us?
I mean, it is great for Poland.
Fantastic for Poland. They get to fucking see King Mo in all his glory, too.
I think with all the ducks...
Stop being so selfish and let Poland have its fucking fun.
I wonder how they translate the Los Parks interview from Spanish to Polish. I wonder if they have somebody that's bilingual in those languages.
That's a great question. I think when all the ducks line up, it'll be good for MLW. When the world opens up again, they have they're a worldwide commodity. That'll be good for them.
When the ducks are coming. Woo!
Yeah, that was good.
Kev, I'm glad you're in a good mood, because you know what? Pro Wrestling Illustrated's top 10 rankings for this week.
I don't like this.
Well, Kev, you know the champion's Jacob Fatu, so we'll give you that one. So
that's correct.
Who's the top 10?
Let's go with Calvin Tankman first.
Calvin Tankman's number 9.
Let's go with So who's the? It's just the champ, right? The world champ is the only one that's exempt.
Champ's the only. He's the only one that's exempt. Yes.
So Hammerstone's got to be on there.
Hammerstone's number one.
Gino Medina.
Gino Medina is not in the top 10.
Son of a gun. Son of a gun. TJP.
TJP is not in the top 10.
Jordan Oliver.
Jordan Oliver, not in the top 10.
Oh my God. It's the only people I know at MLW. King Mo.
King Mo is not in the top 10.
Let's keep this going, baby. Savio Vega.
Oh, is that for real?
Yeah, that was real.
Nope.
Let's see. We just talked about everyone in MLW. Richard Holiday.
Richard Holiday is number 5.
All right, my man, Pots and Pans. Let's see. There's no hearts anymore. Right?
No hearts.
LA, it was one of the parks, LA Park.
No parks, no parking in the top 10.
God damn it, this is rough.
God damn.
What about my boy Kevin Koo?
Kevin Koo is not in the top 10. Now, they
what is happening?
They have a separate tag team listing, but they didn't.
Okay,
they didn't do it this week.
I said Funky Cole Medina. Gringo Loco?
Gringo No Go.
Son of a bitch.
I think you named Alexander Hammerstone, Richard Holiday.
Oh, what about my boy Reedsky?
Myron Reed is number 8.
There you go. I need to. Can't be. I mean, so are the Von Erichs in the tag team division?
Well, they're not in the top 10.
Okay. All right.
There's you're missing a couple people that have been guests on the show.
Brian Pillman Jr.?
No.
Not one of them.
You may not have even been a part on the show when he was a guest.
All right, hold on. I'll get there.
You mentioned one of them before.
Low-key?
Low-key is number 6.
I remember that deep ass voice. I think I was on. Wait, Low-key was a guest, right?
No, Low-key's never been on our show. No.
All right, I don't remember that deep ass voice. Leo Rush, duh, idiot.
Rush is number 3.
How many? What am I missing?
You're missing number 10, number 8, number 7, number 4, number 2. Matt, we blowing the whistle on it?
Are any of them in the Park family? Any of them in the Park family?
No parks.
No parks.
I said Kevin Koo.
One of them
What about the runner up on American Idol, Guarini?
No, you mentioned him.
No, I didn't mention Guarini. Oh, so I didn't mention Medina then.
No, you mentioned Medina. It was Medina.
Mentioned both.
Medina. You said Guarini. You said Koo. No.
One of them is from Mexico. Lucha Underground.
Oh, Mil Muertes?
Number 7. Kev, I got a nickname for this guy. Tom Lawler stole the nickname I had for this guy.
Duck? Goose? Ugh. All right, you know what? I'm done. Paro?
No. ACH.
No. Oh, ACH.
You give him them?
He gave it. He said it.
Missing Mads Kruger.
Yep.
He's still there?
Yeah.
Yep.
And Tom Lawler.
Oh, Mads Kruger. You know what? All right.
I don't think he said Myron Reed either.
No, I did say Myron Reed.
He did say Myron Reed.
Oh, did he? Yeah, I remember.
See, Mads Kruger, I should know. That's a terrible job out of me on Mads Kruger.
I don't know how the fuck Mads Kruger is ranked number 4, but Calvin Tankman's all the way down to number 9, losing one match.
You lose to the champion, you're out, bro.
Dude. This top 10 is as worthless as the fucking AEW top 10. Come on.
I thought you were going to say my top 5s.
Oh, I would never desecrate the top 5s. Top 5s.
Where do you guys want to go from here? I know it's running late, so I have a couple newses and notes and shit if you want to chit-chat.
I have to prep my beautiful face to go on the Thunderdome tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, sir.
We got a couple matches.
Can you really go on the Thunderdome?
Yeah, I got 10 o'clock. I'm all set.
WrestleMania Backlash looks like we're going to have Bobby Lashley defending his championship against Drew McIntyre, and Bayley will be the first challenger to Bianca Belair.
Awesome.
Belairly.
The Peacock is going to throw you some gems here. May 2nd, WWE Untold, two dudes with attitudes.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
Which, if you own the Click DVD, I'm sure it's the same fucking thing.
Probably.
May 16th, WWE Icons. Don't ask me why I said it like that. Rob Van Dam.
Because you wanted to say Iconics. Iconics.
What else? We got Ring of Honor announced their women's division is making its return this month. Every Wednesday on YouTube, starting April 28th, they will kick off women's matches. Quinn McKay's in-ring debut will take place May 8th against Angelina Love. Ian Riccoboni. These Twisted Teas are delightful, by the way.
What are you drinking, Matt?
Twisted Teas, my friend.
Those are half and half. So
half and half in the can, my man. Ian Riccoboni. Ian Riccoboni. He re-signed with Ring of Honor.
Ian Ricky Bobby starring in Fastlane.
Tracy Williams is set to defend the Ring of Honor television title next week against Tony Deppen.
Ah, big Deppen guy.
Nice.
And this week's Ring of Honor show was excellent. I watched it today. Dak Draper and Eli Isom went to a 15-minute time limit draw. And then looks like we got a new version of Dalton Castle. The lights went out. Dalton Castle came out with four men in peacock masks. And then he kicked both gentlemen in the balls before leaving the ring. So it looks like we got a little attitude from the Dalton Castle. And then Violence Unlimited wrestled LIJ to a disqualification. Plus, there was a great promo from Bateman, Dutch, and Vito Von Starr on behalf of Vincent. So Ring of Honor doing excellent things. I highly recommend their weekly TV show. I think it's the best show on the TV, best hour of TV, excuse me. Here's something interesting I found in the New Japan world.
Ooh.
Will Ospreay called out CM Punk.
That's interesting.
Ooh,
CM Punk said, I don't want to give people false hope in answering Ospreay, but he's for sure somebody that I've never wrestled before that interests me a lot, more than, I guess, the corporate side of professional wrestling nowadays. New and different things are going to interest me more than doing the same old, same old. I always need new goals. I don't know. Let's see if he has the title at the end of the summer, then ask me the question again.
He's not coming back.
All right, yeah. I take two things away from this. One of two things. Either he just wants to get back in shape to wrestle again so he looks good, or he's just trolling the fuck out of everyone.
He's a troll, bro. It's number two. He's a troll.
I gotta feel like he's got, like, the money's, the money, like, how do you turn away that money? If you can still do it, get yourself into shape and just do it.
Well, Kevin, to follow up on that, he was also interviewed by Sports Illustrated, and he said, I don't need the money. And the way the wrestling business is now, it's wacky. You've got WWE with multi-billion dollar television deals, and the television's awful. I go back there, I'm just another guy, and it's not even that. I'd be just another guy that's doing not good television. I want to do stuff that's good. I want my name attached to quality products where it's fun and it makes people laugh, smile, think, and people don't hate watching it. I want to do fun stuff.
All right, so those two things are not mutually exclusive. So he's basically saying he doesn't want to go back to WWE, but he's not ruling out the fact that if he thinks that wrestling Will Ospreay in New Japan is fun,
that could be a possibility. Or if going to AEW he thinks is fun, that's a possibility. Or Impact is a possibility. He's just essentially, by that comment, he's ruling out WWE. He's not ruling out anything else. But right. Again, that goes back to maybe he's just trolling us, giving us hope. Ring of Honor, maybe.
Sure. Well, with Joe being... Look, there's a lot of people are clamoring for another Joe Punk match.
Yeah. God, where do you even have that match? What do we do?
I mean, like, I think the only place you have it is Ring of Honor, because that's where they did that trilogy and built their legacy, but it's a lot of Skrilla. A lot of De Niro.
But you just said, he just said he doesn't need the money. So if they give him a modest payday to do something great with Samoa Joe, who might require more De Niro, Ring of Honor would be great. I almost don't want to have it in AEW, though.
No, AEW wouldn't know.
Tony, I'm with you. I don't want to see that in AEW.
Oh, Ring of Honor. And besides, Punk may not need the money. The money is very fucking nice for a match.
Oh,
like
of course.
That.
You're not going to turn down the money.
Yeah.
It's like he's going to be doing it for free.
Yeah, I feel like that's got to happen. No, I'm not saying he should do it for free. He'll require what he like requires, but... I don't want to see an AEW. Would I have loved to see it maybe in WWE? Yeah. But Impact, but they're not going to be, you have to fork out a whole lot of money to make it happen. But I think you'd get the return on your investment for it. I think.
Would the NWA be an option?
No, that's got to be a Ring of Honor match. It has to be.
I'm not opposed to it being somewhere else. If it happens in New Japan, that's whatever. That's great. If it happens.
Yeah, New Japan might work. I'd say New Japan or Ring of Honor. It can't happen in NWA. I don't think that really.
You know what? I'd if it's, he said he doesn't need the money. Give me WWE. I don't care. Do it. If like that, they have the place to do it. And if they, but they don't, they just cut them. So, you know, this is a tough one to call.
I don't think it happens if it's WWE.
If they both are cleared and they both want to come back and they want to do it one time, but then here's the thing though. If you're bringing CM Punk back to WWE, his match is not going to be against Samoa Joe.
He's not, but I don't think he wants to go back to WWE.
I agree. But I'm just saying if that was the case, you're not bringing him back from, and no disrespect to Samoa Joe, you're also not bringing back Samoa Joe. So, but you're not bringing back CM Punk to have a match with, like, that's not going to be the, maybe in 2 years it might be, but like, that's not
right. Which is why ROH is probably the most suitable place for that.
Matt,
yes.
When the thing came out with Mark Carano, I seem to remember reading something, maybe from an interview. There was a woman who worked for WWE Legal. I don't know if it was related to the Mark Carano story or not, but it came out around the same time where she told the story that she wasn't surprised that something like this was done by WWE because she was asked to write the termination letter for CM Punk and she had no idea it was his wedding day. She was told to do it. And when she found out that they sent it to him on his wedding day, she felt really bad about it. But she's like, that's the kind of shit that they do. Did you read that?
I didn't see that, but I don't think it's surprising.
So you really think he would go back to a company that's fucking that?
Oh, I don't think he would go back at all.
Yeah, I think
he would.
That would have to be a money grab. I don't think he does that for any kind of match.
Come on, Tony, like what have we seen in wrestling? Bruno, Warrior, Brett.
All fair points. I just don't know if CM Punk, that's tough to say. I can't say that. I'll walk that back. I was going to say if him.
Listen, first of all, they'll have to cater to him. All right. So like, he won't have to demand any, like he won't have to say like, oh, he won't have to go to them is basically what I'm saying. They'll have to come to him and make him an offer that he just can't refuse. That's it. And that's point blank it and the story. If they want him, they'll have to make him the offer. He doesn't have to ask them for anything.
This is also, though, the same guy that they cut out of all the Undertaker buildup every year. Remember when they even had all the caskets lined up, like actually showing everybody that the Undertaker's defeated? They never mentioned CM Punk. You know?
Bridges are burned. They're burned. But there's nothing that that can't be, you know, repaired.
No, I completely agree. Never say never. But this one is going to be a tougher nut to crack than even Bruno Sammartino, I think.
Right, because of the person that CM Punk is. Like, yeah. The reason why he became as successful as he was because he was not portraying a character. Yeah. That was him. That was 100% him. The pipe bomb was him being frustrated with the WWE. And that's, you know, what made him great.
He also owes a great deal of gratitude to Paul Heyman, because if Paul Heyman's not involved, we don't get the CM Punk that we got.
May I volley, sir? Uh-oh, you fucking assholes with that episode, you fucking dickheads.
Well, Matt, let me retort, if I may, sir. I think that CM Punk has carved a great career for himself, sir. So it's his volley to serve, my friend.
Didn't Paul Heyman want him to tap everybody out in the Anaconda Vice in the match for the East? Is that the one that Bobby Lashley won, by the way?
I think so.
Yeah, the Elimination Chamber?
Yes.
Yeah.
ECW legend Bobby Lashley.
Fuck out of here with that
that's
shit.
That's right. And I approve that statement, sir.
New Japan has some big shows coming up the next week. Wrestling Duntaku. Two-night event.
Duntacos?
Your boy with his fucking dumb hair is going to lose his openweight championship to Jay White. But the match I'm most intrigued about from night one is Tai Chi against Tama Tonga in an Iron Fingers from Hell ladder match.
All right. Should we go ahead and mute my microphone here? Because I have no idea what that is.
Well, it's the Iron Fingers. I'm sure they will be hanging from above, almost like a ladder match for a title. Night two, which will be Tuesday, May 4th, is where we'll see Ospreay defend his IWGP Heavyweight Championship against Shingo. Also, El Desperado defends the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship against Yo.
Oh, man. Takagi gets a fucking title match?
He does against Ospreay, which is going to be fucking awesome.
Good for him.
And then after this, New Japan has canceled three shows for the next month at Currican Hall because they are once again in a state of emergency.
Yeah, I heard that they fucked things up over in Japan, too. That's terrible.
So the Road to Wrestle Grand Slam Tour on May 8th, 10th, and 11th have been canceled.
Does this mean we're not going to get Choco Pro anymore?
I don't know what the... Choco Pro is not even on my radar, dude.
Yeah, I haven't watched it in so long. I got to get back into that.
I'll tell you what's... You know what was on my radar, Tony? And I did this just for you.
Jesus, can you speak just for me?
Joshi.
This is hard. Sangree Park in Rose Township, Pennsylvania will be renamed after Bruno Sammartino.
Yes!
It took place
glad you brought this up.
It took place this past Friday. His family was there.
Yes.
So fire it up, Tony. Get in your little Impala and drive out to Sangree Park in Rose Township, Pennsylvania, so you could skeet, skeet, skeet all over the park, the Bruno Sammartino Park.
Throw some ducks out there.
My cousin lives out there. He's in Moon Township. Maybe I have to go pay him a visit.
I don't even know if you're making that up right now.
I'm not. 100% fucking real deal. Shoot, brother. What else we got?
Past guest of the show, Kenny Doane. He has retired from the world of professional wrestling.
That's a bummer.
EC3 is currently hospitalized with a very serious infection, so thoughts and prayers go out to EC3.
Hope he has a danzatastic recovery.
Terry Funk apparently is recovering from COVID. He is believed to
have COVID. His mother's a whore.
It's believed that he got it from attending church recently. So there's that.
Well, he lives in Texas, right? So there you go.
And the last bit of news I have Steve Mongo McMichael, it was revealed that he is battling LAS. And there's been some pretty sad videos online of him. It looks like he lost about, what did he say here? He lost a bunch of weight, 50 to 60 pounds. And he also decided to keep it private because he wants people to know why they're no longer going to be seeing him around. There is a GoFundMe that has been started to help with the cost of his care. He has a 13-year-old daughter and his wife, and they need to find a handicapped, accessible home. So I'm sure if you just search Steve Mongo McMichael, but this is a bummer, man. We all have kind of a soft spot in our heart for Mongo. As much as people love to rip on his wrestling career, I think he definitely left an impression on all of us. So if you can help, like I said, Google the Steve Mongo LAS, and there's a GoFundMe going on there. So
I think it's ALS.
What did I say? LAS?
Yeah, twice. I didn't want to correct you the first time. But
L-A. Oh, yeah.
No, it's not what you want.
ALS.
Shit, I had to... You know, I think it was Eric Bischoff talking about him recently, completely aside from any of this. This hadn't even been on the radar yet. Steve McMichael didn't even... I know you're going to be like, of course not, because you watch him wrestle. He was never even really trained. Like, he wanted to be a wrestler, and they just thrust him into it. So a lot of times, like, when you see the botches of Steve McMichael, that was Steve McMichael just trying to wrestle. He had no training going into, like, his run in WCW. None whatsoever. Not 6 months at the power plant. No training at a wrestling school. It was just like, all right, Steve, here you go. And they put him in there. His first big feud was Jeff Jarrett, and then they put him in with Goldberg.
No, his first big feud was him and Kevin Green versus the Horseman, where he turned and became a Horseman.
And then it was Jeff Jarrett.
And then he was a Horseman, and then, yeah. I mean, I guess Jeff Jarrett would be it. Then Goldberg, then of course the whole NWO. But dude, yeah. But your point is taken. But I don't. He had to have gotten trained. Bischoff has probably spoken about it, right?
Yeah, the way
he had to have gotten training. They're just not going to do that.
I don't know. Have you seen some of the botch videos that have been around?
I'm not saying. Listen, we talk about Ned Jax every week. So, you know, I think I don't know. That's tough. It's tough one because I'm a big Mongo fan. Always have been. I can pick three horsemen off the top of my head that were worse horsemen than him. He fit right in.
Can I guess the three worst, Kevin?
I think we've done it.
Paul Roma, Sid, and
no, Paul Roma's not one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, Sid is one of them.
Chris Benoit,
Luger.
No. Luger's
Paulie
one.
Anderson.
No, it's I did this. I made a post about it. It's not Roma either, by the way. It's Luger. It's technically Jarrett was a horseman.
Uh-huh.
And I want to say, Sting.
Technically, Kendall Windham was a horseman too.
No, he wasn't a horseman.
Horseman.
I got mad.
Kenny Horseman.
Oh boy.
Nah, it's Sting, Luger, and who else did I say? Sting, Luger.
Piper.
No.
Jarrett.
Jarrett.
And Jarrett were worse horsemen. Mongo was a great horseman. Roma, I thought, was a great horseman.
In the early versions of The Shining Wizards, I did a watch-along to Mongo and Goldberg. I forget what pay-per-view was, but it was the one where they wound up crashing through the table on the outside. Hell of a match.
Yeah.
Two green fucking guys in the business had a hell of a match. I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Yeah. Oh, God. I remember that story where Kevin Green was like the mystery partner, but everyone already knew that it was Kevin Green. And then Macho Man was like their coach, and Bobby Heenan was the coach of Arn Anderson and Flair. Then Mongo turned on Kevin Green. And in the midst of like an NWO feud, Kevin Green still wanted to kick Mongo's ass, but everyone's fighting each other. It's like ridiculous.
Who was the guy that came in from the Packers?
Reggie White.
Reggie White. That was it. He was involved too.
Yeah. Everyone wanted to get some of that WCW money.
Fuck yeah, dude. Matt, what else we got? Are we done? Are we wrapped?
Got by the Eagles.
That's all I got, buddy.
All right.
Next week we have a loaded show. We have Ice Train.
Yes.
From WCW. Uh-oh. And we have Dave LaGreca. If he survives his fucking ass beating from Thunder Rosa, that's taking place Saturday, missionprowrestling.net. You can go over there and you can stream it online if you can't be in Texas. Let me just find,
I forgot about Ice Train and now I'm like legit marking out all over again that we're gonna have freaking Ice Train on the show.
TitleMatchNetwork.com is where you can watch. I think I'm going to order this because I think I have an early night Saturday, and I definitely want to see Thunder Rosa beat the shit out of David LaGreca. Plus, it's a pretty loaded show. Red Velvet and La Rosa Negra is on there. Marty Bell is there. Nice. A lot of super talented women. So missionprowrestling.net is the website. TitleMatchNetwork.com. Check it out. Dave's going to join us. I have to figure out a time with him. Ice Train is going to join us, so that's going to be exciting. And I'm starting to fill out the calendar for May. There's going to be some people you're familiar with. There's going to be people you're not familiar with, but hopefully you get a nice introduction like we did tonight with Red Davis. And again, follow him at Red_Davis_ on the Twitter machine. And that is that's all I have, guys.
It's awesome. This has all been right. Episode 530 of The Shining Wizards.
Guys, don't forget, June 25th and 27th, Atlantic City, Boardwalk Buds. At the Showboat. The shows are late, 11:30 both nights, but you don't have to go to the whole convention. You can just go to the show in Atlantic City. Listen, it's all popping after 11:30 anyway, so let's be real. So 11:30 at the Showboat on Friday and Sunday. It's a whole convention. During the weekends, there's a lot of fun stuff to offer: movie rooms, karaoke, speed dating, smoke decks, all that stuff. If that's what you're into, come out June 25th and 27th, say the whole weekend. Why not? Do it. And then June 18th, I'll be back in West Orange, my hometown, obviously, the town that I still live in, so I guess it's my hometown, at the Ospak Theater. So I'll be there. Social distancing, outdoor venue, beer trucks, food trucks, everything and the likes. And we're starting back, baby. Pandemic Kevin is over. Out and about Kevin is in there, baby. So let's do it.
You're a sexy female. Show up with no panties on. Kevin loves that.
That's weird.
That's awesome. Because women clean themselves, Kevin. If we've learned anything tonight, women are much more hygienic and clean than men.
Yeah, before they go out, yeah.
Get there early and be fresh for Kevin.
That's right.
Kevin likes some fresh.
What?
It's like when you buy fish at the market, odor free. If it starts to stink, you got to get rid of it.
And I was like, cologne, leave it alone.
Get boots.
All right, this is...
Good night, Gracie.
Terrible turn. Fuck terrible, you, terrible, terrible turn.
Okay, we're done on Facebook. Am I still talking while you're recording?